Thank you very much.
7.5 minutes by my clock.
We're back in session, folks. I'm going to call the County Facilities Committee of the Whole meeting back together. Our first item this evening is a QBS presentation by Mr. Steve Ziegler, who many of you are familiar with from the State's Attorney's Office. He is coming back to his old stomping grounds. Steve, take it away.
I was honored to be here. No, actually, it's very nice to see you all again. Several of you obviously have been through these QBS processes before. Some of you may not have, so I'm going to try to be brief and simply run down the basics of what's involved. Just to remind you from the beginning, QBS is a little bit different than contract system. This is not a lowest bidder. This is not a dollar bid. This is a system for selecting the most qualified firm or individual to work with the county board on a project. QBS stands for qualification-based selection. It's basically designed to be objective and very flexible and allow you a great deal of latitude in obtaining specific professional services, and those are architectural, engineering, surveying, and a few others for public projects. QBS system provides a process that really is very straightforward. It's a fairly streamlined system. It's very easy to implement. It's easy to document. It's a very open procedure. It's very easy to audit. We'll skip the federal law because the state of Illinois has had a statute for many years that governs the QBS system. And in the past, occasionally, we've had a misunderstanding as to whether this is something that we are choosing to use as opposed to required to use. We are required to use this system in order to select architects, engineers, and land surveyors, to select them on the basis of qualifications and to negotiate a fair and reasonable contract. The issue of fees comes up only after the various candidates have been ranked by the county. This is a statute that applies to Champaign County. We are not home rule. We are not a population over 3 million, so it does apply to us. There is a process that allows firms to annually submit qualifications. It's like keeping a roster of pre-qualified firms. The county does not do that. There is no list that we can work from here, so we can go ahead and skip on past that. Basically, what's required is for the county to prepare a written scope of work for negotiations. You have to be fairly specific about what you're asking somebody to do for you. Skip down this one. Basically, you're going to have to put out a fairly specific proposal as to what kind of services you want, architectural, engineering, etc. Basically, we're going to have to go with notifying firms, doing a publication. Hopefully, we will get, by that system, you hopefully get a fair number, a large number of firms or individuals to choose from. You are then required to evaluate their qualifications. There is an authorization to interview and have public presentations. You don't have to, but it's generally thought desirable. And then at the end of the process, you're required to rank the applicants, the firms, in order of preference, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Basically, what you do is you decide which firm or which individual is most qualified to work on your project. You rank them, as I say, at least 1, 2, 3. You're required to rank 3 unless for some reason there aren't 3 applicants. But you can continue on after that. What you basically do then is you go to the top-ranked firm, and then you begin to negotiate the very specifics of the contract and the specifics of the money and fees involved. If you cannot reach a successful contract with that first choice, the people you think most qualified to do the project, either you can't agree on the scope of work, you can't agree on the money, you don't like their approach, you can abandon those negotiations. You basically then strike them off the list, stop negotiating with them, and you move on to what's already your number two choice. You don't ever negotiate with two different firms at once. This isn't a matter of auction or bidding, playing one against the other. You decide what your first, second, third choice is, and you negotiate with them in that order until you're able to reach an agreement with someone. If for some reason you get all the way to the end and you can't reach an agreement with anybody, you basically can begin the process over again. By the way, having said that, once you select a firm, once you enter a contract with a firm, you basically have committed to go forward with that firm. Now, that doesn't mean that under certain extraordinary circumstances, you might decide along the way that you simply can't work with this individual or this firm and you have to make a change. But in that case, you're basically starting over again. You can't come in and say, well, I don't want to work with these people anymore that we selected because I got somebody else out here that I'd rather work with. That's not the way the process works. It's a very open and public process. You say who your choices are in what order, and you continue in that order. You have to identify the general scope of the work the project will entail and the time frame. You're going to have to give public notice to professional design firms. It's generally thought desirable to select, to have a selection committee, somebody to screen the work. Statement of qualifications are requested and received from interested firms. An evaluation is done. Generally, a short list is created. It has to be at least three. Sometimes, if the project is sufficiently complicated, you'll want to do a site tour, particularly once you get down to that shorter list of firms. Again, I say you have to have three. That doesn't mean you're limited to three, but you have to have at least three. And interviews are conducted. Generally, you will allow those people to come in and give you a public presentation of what their qualifications are, what their view of the project is, that type of thing. When you get to the end of those presentations, then you basically, if you want to do that before you cut down to your short list, eventually you're going to have to rank three in order of qualification. Basically, everybody that's involved in the selection process, anybody that submits a proposal, winds up getting notice of exactly what happened. Who did you rank 1, 2, and 3? Where do they fall? Are they in that group? Are they not in that group? So that nobody is simply left to wonder whether they made it or not or why they didn't make it. Negotiations then take place as to the full details of the scope of the work, the services, the fees to be paid, the schedule to be used, and you form a contract. Generally, that's done off a modification of a form contract that all these people are familiar with. Again, if you can't reach an agreement with your first-ranked firm, you simply move on to your second-ranked firm. The owner is going to have, that's us, going to have to identify certain things in these proposals. Obviously, the owner name, the project location. But you also want to identify generally groups that are going to be involved. In other words, county board, subdivisions of the county board, other stakeholders, that type of thing. You will want to give these people any type of studies, surveys, work feasibility studies that you've already got. You may ask them to do further studies, depending. You're going to want to give them as accurate a project outline as you can and as accurate a time frame as you can. The better you can define the scope of the project before you send out your request for proposal, the better information you'll get back from these people as to what they can do. Obviously, the more vague you are, the more vague they'll have to be, and that can cause problems later on when it comes to negotiating out the specifics of a single contract. You don't really want to go through and rank your first, second, and third firm, you know, based on vague information. Again, we're going to have to go with the public notice system because we don't maintain a pre-qualified list. Generally, a qualified selection committee is appointed to assist in reviewing and ranking the various applicants. Depending on how many responses you get, who knows how much work that is. Could be 3, 4, 5, could be 20, 30, 40. Sometimes that committee will include representatives from whoever's going to administer the contract, the departments that will administer the contract, the stakeholders who will be using the facilities you're developing, anybody else who has a particular interest in the project. sometimes it's desirable to bring in people from outside, private consultants with expertise, other people from the community. Sometimes not. It depends on the project. It's not required. None of these now are legal requirements. Statement of qualifications. Again, we don't have a compiled list of qualified firms. The request for proposal, the technical proposals that come in are generally going to be detailed plans. Basically, we use this only on large technical projects. Generally, they're going to be our construction projects. The process of putting these proposals together can take several weeks. It can take an awful long time to just get the proper proposals back, to basically call out the people that you don't think are qualified, or that you don't want to have make the short list because they simply don't fit your criteria, you're not comfortable with them for some reason, and we're probably going to need to rely on a certain amount of staff experience in terms of who meets the technical qualifications to construct a particular project. Again, evaluating the short list, you have to have no less than three on your short list. You have to rank one, two, and three. Usually, you don't go with more than five. It just becomes unwieldy. You can basically put in as many as you want. Usually what will happen is a selection committee will evaluate all the responses. They'll assess qualifications. They will check the references of the various applicants to be sure that they are who they say they are and they have the expertise they say they have. And then the committees generally will develop a short list of firms or a ranking of firms and submit that to the larger body, the county board. In the case of most building projects, you're generally going to want to allow a site tour, particularly for any kind of a complicated building project, so that somebody can talk with some intelligence about exactly what they're going to do for you and how they are going to bring your project to completion. It generally provides the firms that are interested in these projects with a first-hand look at exactly what they're dealing with. You can do the interviews any way you want. You don't have to do interviews, although I can't possibly imagine not doing them. Standard procedure is to set forth a certain amount of time for each of the three, four, or five top-ranked firms to come in and give you a specific presentation, let them give you their vision of how they're going to accomplish this. Usually it's done on a single day. Sometimes it can be done on back-to-back days. Usually it's done fairly close together so that the committee or the board doesn't have to keep referring back to what happened a week or two ago. And basically what's done eventually is you wind up with a scoring system. Basically, you score out the firms on a standard criteria so that everybody's being evaluated on the same criteria, and generally speaking, the highest scoring firms are likely to be your first three choices. Again, you notify all the firms of the time frame for selection. You notify everybody of the process, everything in the process that goes along, so they know exactly where they're at. You generally interview and evaluate each firm independently rather than trying to compare one to another. Once the interviews are concluded, you basically wrap up your scoring and you see who your highest qualified firms are, your highest scores. This is an example of the type of form that's sometimes used. You sometimes will want to give certain considerations more weight than others. You don't have to. You can come up with any kind of scoring system you want, frankly, or any way of determining how to rank firms. Again, generally, each firm is evaluated and scored separately. The scores are compiled, and you wind up with your top three firms. After the selection, basically, after the interviews, the rankings are completed, you generally send out a memo to all the firms involved that participated in the process saying who was awarded the contract or who you're going to negotiate with, who was on the short list, etc., so they all know what's going on. Generally, it's not very difficult to reach an agreement with your top-ranked firm. If for some reason you can't, you simply move on to the second-ranked firm. One of the things you do once you select your top-ranked firm, that's where you start to negotiate not only the very specifics of what they'll do, but also the fees that they'll charge. If for some reason you can't reach an agreement with them on fees, again, you simply move on to the second-ranked firm. Any questions?
Mr. James.
At the beginning there, you said notifications could be mail or newspaper. Would it depend on the scope of the job? Because if it was like a local drainage, I could see where it might be mail because we know the local engineers and that. But something of this magnitude, like the jail issue, I would think in my mind that would be such a big thing that it should go out as far as it can.
In this case, you're going to have to publish. You're going to have to do that. Now, there's really nothing that prohibits you from mailing something to a particular potential firm, but in this case, because we don't maintain a pre-qualified list, we're pretty much going to have to notice the thing like we would anything else.
Okay, and follow up on that, when we're talking about, would this also include, like say, we had talked about this before in facilities, if we were going to repaint this building, could we have a pre-qualified list if we so wanted and pick from that without having to go through some of this? If it was under,
you could,
if we knew that it was going to be under 25, or that's where the budget was set.
Well, the under 25 is a different requirement. That's a different level. You could begin to maintain a pre-qualified list. Of course, you have to have somebody to do it. Right now, we don't have that.
Bias.
It's kind of a project in and of itself. Traditionally, we just haven't done it.
Another important thing to recognize there is that painters don't fall under this QBS process. This process is only for architectural, engineering, and land surveying.
Thank you, Dave. That was going to be my next, because I wasn't sure. Sometimes it all overlaps, Steve, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, the painters, that kind of thing, painters, building construction, that's the bid system. And frankly, one of the things I should say about this, you know, that system works pretty well when it comes to, you know, most of the trades, that type of thing, the painters, the actual construction. That's what they are used to in their private, you know, dealings with private industry. Everything's basically bid. This is the kind of system that architects, engineers, land surveyors are used to with their private clients. They don't do bids. They say, let me come and show you why I'm the best architect for your building project, and then if you're convinced that that's somebody you want to work with, you see whether you can meet, you know, reach an arrangement on scope of work, time of project, amount of cost.
Thank you, Claire.
Ms. Michaels. Then Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Chairman Betts. I think what I just heard you say, on page 7 of the draft RFP, the selection criteria will be weighted with 45% for methodology, 40% for qualifications, and 15% for cost. Really, did I just hear you say we really can't even consider the 15% for cost of the selection process?
That's right. This has been an issue for a long time with county projects.
This is not a QBS process. This is an RFP. I mean, we can't mix up what you have on your agenda tonight is not QBS. It's an RFP.
That's correct. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the document you were referring to, I don't have. I just assumed it applied to this. In QBS, though, we've had that problem before of, you know, the first thing everybody wants to know is, how much is it going to cost us? That's actually at the end of this.
Ms. Petrie.
Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of information questions. First of all, I hope your PowerPoint presentation will be up on the website so we can have it as a reference point. Thank you. I see Ms. Buzini. When I had a chance to talk with some folks from the state concerning this process, from a county standpoint, where it's more difficult for a county to maintain a list of qualified whatevers. The people from that office in the state level said that it would be perfectly appropriate for any county, not just Champaign County, any county to use people from the qualified list on the state level. And the individual said to me, you're right there in Champaign, you've got the university, you could use the university's qualified list. Could you verify this one way or the other. Now, I was speaking with people in the office that does this on the state level, and this is what they told me.
Okay. I think she's referring to the vendors.
The vendors list. I'm trying to sort out in my mind necessarily what lists they're talking about. If they're talking
the pre-qualified lists that the state and the university maintain.
They maintain pre-qualified lists though for a variety.
I know they do.
If it's specific to architects, engineers, etc., this type of thing, I don't know off the top of my head whether it would be appropriate to adapt somebody else's list. I frankly suspect it might not be.
Why can we check that out so we know? Because if they vetted these folks, why can't we take advantage of it?
Well, did they vet them, though? And how did they vet them? And you know, you're talking about adapting somebody else's information. I wouldn't go into it assuming necessarily that they have the same concerns, the same background, the same... can't think of the word I'm looking values. For, same values, etc., that you have. In other words, U of I building projects can be vastly different than county building projects. State building projects certainly are vastly different. Is it possible? Yes, I can have somebody look at it. Whether that's something you would really want to pursue, well, I guess that's up to the 27 of you.
Okay, I have another information question. I've been through this process once.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm an urban planner, I see a lot of difference between asking for qualifications and actual design.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to construction projects and design projects, because that's an iterative process.
Mm-hmm.
I found this process very unsatisfactory, coming to a good end result, and then you get locked into whatever you choose by what somebody states as qualifications, and then going to the next stage of what design might be,
mm-hmm.
it could potentially be night and day.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what you have indicated to us going through your presentation, there is an out along the pathway. Do I understand correctly?
Not necessarily. The last thing I mean to indicate is that there's a back door to this. If you wound up...
I didn't mean a back door, but I meant that if we chose one, number one, and mm-hmm. then we found out that for whatever reasons that wasn't working well, how do we extricate ourselves?
Are you talking about after you've got a contract?
Or even after you start negotiating toward a contract.
Okay, negotiating toward a contract is not a problem. Until you actually reach a contract, no problem at all. When you hit an impasse or you hit something that tells you, I can't work with this firm, or you know, this is not the firm or the individual we want to have working on this project, in the course of your negotiations, you simply cut off negotiations with them and you move on to your second rated firm, or in the case of the second, on to the third. One thing I said very early in this was the more specific you can be about what your project is, what the parameters of your project, what your time expectations are, what it is you want this firm to work on. The more specific you can be on that, the more likely it is you will get specific information back. If we're vague about it, well, we're probably going to get more vague information back. And clearly, you understand. Yeah, well, you're familiar with the stages of design as well. You don't just say, here's the design. You've got all kinds of stages to go through. Now,
this process really doesn't allow for that iterativeness.
Well, to the extent that we can give specific direction as to what we're asking for a proposal on, we will hopefully get some specific information back. If you're talking about the absolute final design, no, we really aren't going to get that. That's just the nature of these types of projects. If you're in urban planning, you're familiar with the situation. Basically, somebody comes to you with a design concept. they're going to come to you with an idea of what they're going to do. They may come to you with a proposal, a general, you know, this is what we're looking at. And of course, we all know those things evolve over time. If you enter a contract with a firm and at some point it becomes clear that you just absolutely can't work with them for some reason, there's some extraordinary circumstance, it is possible under the right circumstances to, for lack of a better term, break the contract. There may be consequences to that, and begin the process over again. I can't tell you that it's an entirely satisfactory, you know, process. It is the one we're required to follow by statute, however.
Okay, you know. Thank you.
Carol?
I'm glad that Mr. Ziegler said that. I would like to make a distinction here, if possible. The Illinois compiled statute that is on that slide, 50 ILCS 510, lays the parameters that counties need to come up with a qualification system. Is that correct?
Well, it basically sets forth the process that you need to use to select.
But it doesn't actually give us the rest of the what we got up here. So the rest of that is not state law.
No, and I said very clearly that at some point we were passing out of what's absolutely required and into things that are generally done. I don't want to leave you sitting there thinking that you have to invent or reinvent the wheel. You can accept the system for using a screening committee or not. You can accept the idea of using 3 to 5 top-ranked firms, or you could rank 10 if you wanted to. You must rank 3 as long as there are 3.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you because we've been given this QBS as if it's state law, meaning all the slides outside of the actual law itself, meaning this QBS that we have here doesn't necessarily exist in the other counties, just the state law saying that you have to have a system, correct?
The state law sets forth the basics of the process,
correct.
Yes.
But not necessarily what we have here in Champaign County. So what you said is that we needed to have at least 3 shortlists, but that doesn't mean we can't have more than 3.
At least 3 on the shortlist, yes.
We have some, this is more of our policies that we've come up with to follow state law.
Right. There are some basics that you must follow, and the most basic parts of it are, it's not a bid system, it's not a lowest bidder. You select by quality. How you rank those qualifications, yes, is up to you. You could place greatest weight on a factor that, say, Adams County put the least weight on. You could weight everything. You can come up with your own factors for what you consider. All kinds of things, all kinds of options. The basics are that it's not a bid. It's a matter of looking for what firms you are best able to work with, ranking them so that everybody knows exactly who ranked first, second, third, and beginning your negotiations with the top-ranked firm.
Ms. Cowart?
Yes, I'd like to know if the QBS is to select the firm that we might use to build the building, or are they the ones that we will use the assessment and the pre-design?
Basically, it's for architects who would design a facility, or engineers who would assist in the design of the facility. It doesn't have anything to do with who might build a particular facility. If you're asking about somebody to do a study of some type, that might be a little bit different matter. What's referred to as an RFQ. This is what I'm talking about is the steps you would have to go through to hire an architect or an engineer.
Okay, we will be looking at our need assessment study and then our pre-design. Mm-hmm.
Totally separate from both.
This is not really what
this, no, this is not what you're okay. talking about.
Do you want to?
If I could just...
Go ahead.
This session on QBS was scheduled 2 or 3 months ago when we thought the RFP would have already been released. This QBS information does not pertain to the RFP for a needs assessment. QBS is for selection of an architect or an engineering firm. That's not who we intend or who we are thinking we want to hire to conduct a needs assessment. We are looking for a jail consultant to do the needs assessment, not necessarily an architectural engineering firm. So the RFP you're looking at later on this agenda is not an RFQ and is not set up to follow the QBS process, which Mr. Ziegler is explaining to you tonight.
I apologize for the confusion. I was asked considerable time ago to come and explain this process. In other words, if you reach the point with this or any project, for that matter, that you reach the point where you need to hire engineers or architects, this is what you would have to do to select those people. I have nothing to do with what may actually be on the agenda tonight in terms of an RFP.
Mr. Jay?
Yes, with my vast experience and my legal mentality, this system sucks.
Okay.
Having said that, if we negotiated with the three firms and picked our first firm, and everything went fine until we got to the dollars and cents, is the dollar and cents enough for us to turn down the first firm?
Yes.
By itself?
Yes.
Do they have recourse if that's what we turn them down on?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, you, if you cannot fully negotiate a contract, and frankly, I, if you don't like the system, I understand that. I'm not trying to sell you on the system. I'm simply saying this is what the legislature provided for you, and we all know the drawbacks of measures that are adopted by elected bodies.
Don't look at me when you say that. Mr. Benzel.
Thank you. The concern I would have with trying to choose or borrow off of someone else's pre-qualified list is, you know, particularly at the state level, they may very well have a large list that of architects or engineers that are approved, but they may not be approved for the type of facility that we would be looking to build. So I certainly wouldn't want to go out and hire an architect off of a pre-qualified list who designs mainly elementary schools to design a jail for us, for instance. You know, so, I mean, they would all be on the same list, but I think that when we're looking at a specific project, particularly as few projects, as we do, I would prefer to go through this process and find somebody that works for us.
Actually, having had a few minutes to think about the question of adopting somebody else's list, there's going to be at least one large legal drawback to that, and that is that with a public body like this that maintains a list, you basically have to tell the people in these professions, we're maintaining a list. And if you want to be on that list, go ahead and send your stuff in. It's a purely open process. If you're going to maintain a list, anybody in those fields that wants to send their information in can do it. Theoretically, you, I suppose, could go to somebody else's list to see if those people are interested in your project, but you're still going to have to publish because you will have accidentally excluded a whole range of people who, if they knew Champaign County was maintaining an ongoing rotating list, they'd be sending something in every year saying, hey, remember me. And that's really the whole point. If you maintain a list, basically every year these firms are able to send in proposals to you saying, here's who we are, here's what our qualifications are. If you're going to build something this year, keep us in mind. And then you have to send to them.
Mr. Rosales.
I have a question for Doug Busey because I think there is an interplay between the RFP and the RFQ. If we're going to do a design, Deb, do we need an architect to do a design? And if this RFP is going to be part of an architectural design of what we're going to propose to build?
No, this RFP is for a needs assessment.
But he also
says jail needs
design.
Assessment. It doesn't say that in the RFP.
Thank you. Pre-design. In a pre-design, you don't need an architect.
Mr. Weibel, we're taking these in order.
Mr. Ziegler, quick question is, let's say I want to move the, I don't like where my office door is in my office, and I'm kind of a chair, I can do whatever I want, so I want to move down 10 feet. I need to hire an architect. It's a small deal. Do I have to go through the QBS system for that? Is there a lower limit on jobs?
There is a lower limit on minor projects.
Okay.
But if what we're talking about is an actual construction project...
Well, but there is a lower limit.
There is, I believe, a lower limit.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know what it is? Or?
I want to say it's 25,000.
Okay. Sorry.
But I would have to... Frankly, that was not the...
Mr.
The discussion I thought we were going to have.
Mr. Kirk.
How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How have you been?
Haven't seen you for a while.
No, I would think you'd have had enough of this by now, but I think you're probably the senior member of this board at this point.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to know how much is this different from the process we had on the courthouse, the jailhouse, and even about some part of this building.
It really shouldn't be any different. It isn't really any different, and that's why I said a lot of you have been through this before. It's just a matter of sorting out for anybody who wants the information the difference between selecting the architect for the project and then bidding the builder for the project. Yeah, but nothing's really changed.
Mr. Alex,
I just wanted to share a little of my own experience with this process. I think I understand what the process was designed for, and there's actually a circumstance in which it works pretty well, which is the way that, to some extent, we applied it when I was on the board of the sanitary district. And their issue is they have a lot of small projects, right? I mean, they need an engineer to determine how to fix a broken sewer or how to, strengthen a lift station or something like that. And these are typically, jobs that cost, less than it would probably cost to, in staff time, to solicit bids for engineering work for these projects and do it. So what they do is they essentially do a QBS process on a basis, I think it's every 3 years, for a number of different areas. So they qualify a structural engineer, they qualify a hydraulic engineer, they qualify an architect, and basically depending on whatever they need on that job, they know who they can go to talk to. And in that regard, it works pretty well, because your idea is essentially just saving the taxpayers money by not having to bid out, all these small jobs. It's still competitive bid, because firms have the opportunity to bid for that business or to qualify themselves for that business and be contracting for that business, establish hourly rates, things like that, every couple of years. Where I find it really breaks down is on projects where you don't really know what outcome you want. I mean, if you're hiring an engineer to design a specific building with specific parameters, or an architect to design a building with specific parameters, I think it works fine, because you're basically just trying to say, we need somebody who can demonstrate that they're competent to do the work, who's done this kind of work for other jurisdictions, other agencies in the past. Then you can negotiate a fair price, and the assumption is that basically any competent practitioner can get the outcome that you want. Where I think it breaks down is a situation where you don't really know what you want, and you want some creativity on the part of design firms, because you really don't know what you're going to get until you see the design. And to Mr. Jay's description of the process, I think I have to agree in that circumstance. If what you want to do is, bring in a couple of professionals and get the take of multiple firms on how a project ought to be done, I don't see a way to do that under the QBS process. And I'm wondering, can you confirm that? There's not really an opportunity to hold a design competition, if it were, under the QBS process.
No, you wouldn't really be holding a design competition type of thing. The place where you may be able to sort out that information is in your needs study. The best example I can give you would be, since we've already built the building, the courthouse. When the architectural contract for the courthouse was let, basically you were dealing with a need to preserve and remodel the old building and to design an attachment to that building to expand the facility. You would have had to tell the architect, you know, we're looking for 11 courtrooms, circuit clerk, probation, state's attorney, public defender, etc. This is how many people work here. This is the amount of space we need in general. I think that's why you go through the needs assessment to get the, you know, number of people that work in the building, number of courtrooms in the case of the courthouse, number of other offices, this type of thing. And that's kind of where you sort it out and give those architects then some idea of what you're thinking of.
But what the, as I understand the process, an architect or an engineer to do that needs assessment, because they would fall under the, you've got to pick one and stick with them approach of the QBS.
Hold on a second. Deb?
You could end up hiring an architect, but you're not hiring, you could end up hiring an architect who's willing to do a needs assessment, but he's not going to do architectural design or engineering design for you under this particular RFP.
Okay, so the trigger for, well, I'm not talking about this particular RFP.
But, yeah.
So the trigger for QBS isn't the their qualifications. It's not if you're going to hire an architect, you have to go through QBS. It's if you're going to hire an architect to do a specific class of work, then you have to do it.
If you're going to hire them to perform the architectural work on a project, it would be different than hiring a consulting architect to help you help you develop your scope of need.
That's an interesting distinction. I guess we'll think about it.
Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Chairman Betts. I don't necessarily always agree with Mr. J.
Is that why you need to go
But I will say that a lot of engineers aren't really enamored by this whole process either. As far as maintaining a list of pre-qualified engineering firms and that sort of thing, that would be a rather large job to maintain that list. I think we have probably other things for our staff to do than yearly updating a list of pre-qualified engineers and land surveyors and architects. It would be a rather big job. So I think the process that we use, sending out RFPs or RFQs and going through the QBS process, is probably the best thing for us.
Maintaining a pre-qualified list, if you're the University of Illinois or the State of Illinois, I would imagine makes a great deal more sense than for somebody like Champaign County. They are constantly building. They're constantly working on something. Or if you had a government body that constantly was doing building or repair or design on a particular type of installation, road, bridge, whatever, the fact of the matter is that Champaign County would spend more time maintaining the list than referring to it, because we don't build even on an annual basis, hopefully. We build projects that this applies to so rarely that most of the time, by the time we got back to the list at the end of the year, we'd never have used these people.
Ms. Anderson and Mr. Carter.
Just following up on that comment, I would guess that the university's probably fairly large list would not have them broken down by ones that have had a lot of background in designing jails. Maybe they do. I don't
know. Some of those classrooms.
But you mentioned the University of Illinois list, and I was wondering.
My guess is the University of Illinois could not tell you off the top of their head who has experience in designing correctional facilities. The State of Illinois very well might, but of course, state prison facilities serve a different function than county jails, too. So,
Mr. Carter.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, the architect, first place you have to get, what were the three or four or five funds?
Mm-hmm.
They'll come in and give you a presentation. Now, the architect has his own design crew. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
General.
Bring them in and give you a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way, unless you go to sleep, that you can miss it.
Right, basically
all
you get...
All these things take place. So you come right here and give you presentation, let you know how many million-dollar buildings he built, and it didn't fall down by the earthquake. And just go on down the line. And I don't think you have any observation about you don't understand what's going on.
Thank you. Ms. Ammons.
I'll just make two short comments. One is that Mr. Carter just described is not exactly how our previous experience with QBS happened. We had one firm present to the county board, not three, on Art Bartel. And when we got to the point where we had discussion on that contract, we were told we could not do anything else. So that's something that needs to be looked at with the QBS system. And the second one is my understanding of pre-qualified vendor lists is to also address the issue of minority participation, which is why we do pre-qualified vendors. I know the university has a list addressing minority participation as well in contracting. Not necessarily that we were supposed to have one some time ago. We never actually did it. And now this system almost makes it impossible, almost, although you presented it as if it's easy to get more participation. That's just not been my experience watching this process. So I don't expect a response from you, Mr. Ziegler, because you have nothing to do with that. But I just wanted to bring to the board's attention that.
Mr. James.
Just so Carol knows, that was Mr. Beckett. He was trying to get a listing done when we have small building projects, and that's sort of, yeah, but it has nothing to do with what's, I think we keep getting confused with the process. Steve's telling us about one thing, and we're all jumping around, and really we got to let Steve go because he's charging us by the hour.
Actually, I'm salaried.
We're paying regardless. Any other questions? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
I appreciate the invitation.
Oh,
Mr. Reinhart.
Thank you. Pages 54 through 57 of your agenda are the monthly reports. Still nothing new or exciting, no major problems or expenditures. So if you would...
I would entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. James, seconded by Mr. Kibler. He needs to get in the record.
Yeah.
Discussion. All those in favor signify... Oh, Carol, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask, on this list, this is all the work that has been done in the last month, just with all the buildings, correct?
Yes.
For all of our buildings. Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The Art Bartel Project.
Okay, on page 58 of your agenda packet is the... Art Bartel Road Construction Project Budget. The only activity that's been on any of the light items in this last month is a little bit of activity for a partial payment to Birch Clancy Associates for the East Campus Stormwater Site Water Project.
Questions? Chair would entertain a motion to receive and place on file. Go ahead.
I just have a clarification. Why is this called Art Bartel Road? It's the construction project for 202 Art Bartel Road.
I would entertain a motion. Motion by Mr. Jay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Benzel. To receive and place on file. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The East Campus Stormwater Management Project schedule.
Okay, on page 59, I gave you a very brief update of our 90% drawing review. The project, their design is right on schedule according to their proposal, their contract. Tom Burns, Chris Billings, Jeff Blue, Deb Busey, and I met, reviewed the drawings, and we talked with BCA about the details of the contract, how it was going to be designed and put together, the amounts of the bid bonds, performance bonds, the retainages, and the formats. And at the end of that, conclusion of that, we came up with the following dates for the upcoming events in March and April. The 100% or 99.8% drawings are complete, have been delivered, and are being reviewed by Jeff Blue and myself, which was last Friday. Advertisement is scheduled for this weekend, the March 10th and the 11th, and on Sunday the 18th for the advertisement for bids. On March 20th, we will be holding a pre-bid site meeting for all interested contractors. We'll meet at ILEAS at 2 p.m. If anyone would like to join us, you're more than welcome to. There'll just be a short question and answer period for the contractors indoors, and then if anyone would like to, we'll walk the site so they can see the exact location. March 27th is projected bid opening. We'll be here at Brookings at 2 p.m. in this room. March 28th, hopefully we'll have a team recommendation to be sent out to in your agenda. If we cannot get it in the agenda, if there's any issues, we'll definitely have it by addendum and have hopefully plenty of time for you to review it for the facilities committee approval on April the 3rd. And then to the full board on the 19th.
Any questions? Yes, Patsy.
I think this question usually is for Ms. Busey, and the idea is, could you describe the bid bonds, the performance bonds, and the retainage amounts that are mentioned in the paragraph on page 59?
Actually, Mr. Reinhardt has more recently been involved with that than I have. So.
Certainly. The bid bond, you are looking for the amounts or just?
Yes.
Okay. When the bids are submitted, they will have to submit a bid bond with their proposal, and it is for the amount of 10% of the total bid package.
Yes.
Okay. Once a successful bidder has been awarded contract, will have 15 days to supply a 100% performance bond for the total project cost to the county in case there's any issues or they go bankrupt before their contract's finished, so we will have funds available to see us finished. The retainage will be 10% of every partial payment requested. And that will be retained until the project is complete and punch list completed, and then it will all be included in the final payment.
Any other questions? Mr. James.
When I've done some projects when I was with HUD, when we used to get design booklets to people, we would have a charge for that booklet. And then if they didn't get the bids and they returned them, we would give them their money back. Did we do that or not?
Yeah, yes, all bid bonds will be returned to, except for the successful bidder.
I'm talking about the bidder that's bidding, he comes in and gets all the paperwork that is put together by the architect and engineer, the design drawings and everything. Maybe we're not, you know what I'm saying? It's a
yes.
Outline, like the courthouse, let's say. And you give them a booklet saying, here's what we're looking for. Here's the design by the architecture. Your firm's bidding on it. Because some of that booklets cost a lot of money. I know when I was on some litigation for the county, I was handed a notebook that I was told cost $1,000. But what I'm trying to say is when we used to give that to a vendor and then they'd give it back, we would refund them their stipends that we charged them. But I'm just asking, do we do anything like that?
We typically do not at the county level. BCA is designing this contract. I will have to ask them. I know that there is a $50 deposit for receipt of the bid documents.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So whether it's refundable or not, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions on this item? Mr. Carter.
I'm trying to follow you on this. Where are we at now?
Where are we at? Okay, right now we are ready to put the bids out on the street so that we can receive proposals on March 27th. Wrong. Okay.
Any further comments on the stormwater management plan? We'll move on to the courthouse sound system update.
Okay, I'm happy to report this courthouse sound system project has been going real smooth once we got everything going. The sound systems are upgraded in the courthouse and all working extremely well. Right now they are working today and tonight, have been over at the adult detention center, the satellite jail, installing the remote video arraignment system. The courthouse video arraignment systems are in, have been in since last week, and they are working with the old systems in our satellite jails. Now they're doing the remote facilities, and the plan is by the end of this week to hopefully have both facilities up and running, if not the middle of next week. Their projected completion is supposed to be the end of next week, and I think they're going to be right on schedule.
Questions? Mr. James.
I know it was probably in there, but is there a warranty on their labor and materials?
Oh, absolutely. A one-year warranty on all materials and labor.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Owen. The next matter is the jail space improvement project, the potential approval of a release of an RFP for consultant services for needs assessment. Moved by Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Mr. Langenheim. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
I'll point out that it's a fresh copy on your desk. There are earlier changes are in yellow, more recent changes are in green.
Discussion. Ms. Ammons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to go through, I'm glad we got another copy because I worked on the previous copy, and so I need to actually incorporate the new one. I want to look at a couple of things through this packet. On page 4, under 1, introduction, I want to strike the word in the second paragraph towards the end, or do nothing, and just put maintenance only in that section. Instead, in parentheses, I want to strike do nothing. On the time frame, part 2, RFP process timeline, assuming, I guess this timeline assumes that you'll get all votes here and it won't have to go to the county board. Is that correct?
Release of an RFP by your purchasing policy is a committee-level decision.
What's the... if it's a committee-level decision, what's the requirement on the vote?
Simple majority.
Simple majority. I would like to recommend that we adjust the time frame so that we could have a little more time. This schedule seems to be very short in getting this out. So once we release the RFP, assuming that it's released there, I would like to replace that to release on March 23rd. So we'll have more time at the county board for any other changes board members may want. And the schedule will adjust from there. March 23rd, the response is due May 25th. And then it would follow from there to the jail planning project team notification. This is where we really struggled with this piece, is that, again, we've been asking over and over again for either some other representation on this jail planning project team, or that the Justice and Social Services team be involved in this process, not selection, but be involved in the review process. And I think this would allow us to tie those two committees so that there could be some collective work around this process and they can keep up as it's going. And I would recommend the date on that be Monday, June 18th. And then the shortlisted firms, of course, we were asking for 3 at least shortlisted firm interviews with the county board to be on Tuesday, July 10th. The top-ranked firms, whatever comes out of that process, Wednesday, July 11th. Contract negotiations would be the week of July 12th through the 19th. And then the contract county board award of contract July 26th.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion. All of these I'm making as
second.
Yes?
Historically, we don't normally meet in July, so I don't know if that's going to be good for the county board.
I moved it back because of that. We don't meet July 3rd, so we...
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Maybe I was sleeping.
you need me to repeat those times again, or I can move on.
Mr. Kibler?
Clarification. You're wanting to both not only strike the words do nothing, but also change all the dates in the same motion?
Right. I'm
okay.
One motion.
Okay.
This is, that's the motion that you have before us now? Is there more?
That's the motion I have before you now. There are more changes that I would like to, we have a new copy on our desk, and I'm working from the new copy right now.
Can go ahead, to Patsy.
Just a point of clarification on the shortlisted firm interviews with the board. The 10th of July is the suggested date.
I was wondering if it would be possible to have that date as when we have a study session scheduled. We don't seem to be capturing the fact that we have. Could this tell us what?
I don't have your calendar in front of me, but there would be a date at the end of June, which is a study session date, which you could use. I think it's like June 29th or something, but I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
But first, I'm just asking to get a sense if that would be feasible. We're looking to readjust these dates, and it would give us a longer window of time.
Well, absolutely. I mean, with the dates Mrs. Ammons has given, I mean, the shortlisted firms are determined on June 8th, and you have almost a month before you have the presentations. That's longer than is necessary. So you could use that last Tuesday in June, which is a study session date, to do these presentations instead, which would then enable you to still sending it to the board in July.
Okay, then may I ask Ms. Ammons if she would accept that as a friendly amendment to the dates?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
That's June 28th study session.
26th. I'm going to allow the friendly amendment, even though Roberts said there's no such thing. Okay. Do it anyway.
It's unfriendly.
There is just no such thing. That's okay. I'm just going to treat it as a change that's accepted by the chair. Can I ask a question of you, Carol? There's two matters that you have in your motion. One is in the introduction where you want to say strike or do nothing and just put maintenance, and then you have the schedule. I think that it would be, just to keep it germane, I think you want the introduction separate from the timeline. They're structurally very different concepts. Would you find it acceptable to have a unanimous consent on the issue of maintenance only, and then we vote on the other separately, if that's okay? Mr. Alex.
I would like to speak to maintenance only. That's in there because I received a comment from a constituent who said, do nothing is bad because it implies, you know, you're not going to do any maintenance. He said it should be maintenance, do nothing, maintenance only. So I said, you're right. So I have no problem with maintenance only. I think it says the same thing.
Could I have unanimous consent that we agree that we should put the term maintenance only in there? Seeing no objection, that's changed. Now, Mr.
Wasn't there a motion and a second to that motion?
There was.
When it was consolidated?
If she'd find it acceptable to separate it, and she said yes. She's the mover on the motion.
Clear.
So it is maintenance. Now we're on the question of the timeline. Can we read back the timeline so we all know what we're voting on?
I started March 23rd so that the board members will have enough time at the next board meeting to finalize this issue. And then it goes May 25th for the responses due back. And then the jail planning team notification, I did request in this motion that the Justice and Social Services team be a part of that short listing of those firms, not selection but review, which would be on Monday, June 18th. And then the shortlisted firm interview with the county board would be June 26th, which is our study session night. top-ranked firms, a ranking, I guess, by the board, would be July 11th. And the contract negotiations would be July 12th that week. And then the county board award of contract would be July 26th.
Yeah. Could we consider that the top-ranked firm selection does not need to wait? It can be June 27th because that will be determined by the county board on the night of the 26th. And move up the contract negotiation schedule so that it's done sooner. If there is a committee of the whole meeting in July, it could actually be presented to the committee of the whole before the county board.
I wouldn't necessarily object to the ranking one moving, but I would object to the contract negotiation moving because the board members really need enough time to go through what they have received in the ranking. And I'm concerned that with so many other things, we won't have an adequate amount of time to raise other concerns for the negotiation process.
Okay, so your intent is to have the top-ranked firm identified and selected, but wait 2 weeks before we start negotiating with them?
Well, I think that's probably why I think in your own timeline, your timeline separates them, and I just followed your timeline here.
But we started negotiating as soon as the firm is selected.
Which
so
is what I'm recommending too. Oh, I see what you're saying. It says we moved it to 26.
Right.
I see.
So could we start the negotiation June 27th?
Sure.
And then
I can see that.
Mr. Kidd.
Quick question for Mrs. Ammons. I assume that by delaying this till March 23rd, you're asking the board to almost consider moving this decision until the full county board session, because if we make a decision tonight, the RFP is going to be issued the 23rd, regardless of really any action on the 22nd. Right, because as mentioned by Mrs. Busey, it's a committee of the whole decision. So if we approve the RFP tonight, no matter what happens between now and the county board meeting, the RFP is going to be issued.
Well, I think if the RFP is approved tonight and we can come to consensus on the content of the RFP and the RFP is restructured, then yes.
I just wanted to clarify that would happen no matter what.
Release it on the calendar. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Allison, Mr. Quisenberry.
Could we leave the change of the release of the RFP off of this current thing until we determine whether we can get through this tonight or not?
It's going to be up to the mover who's...
Since there's a chance that we could get through this tonight, I'm not going to bet on that, but there's a chance. I think Mr. Kibler is implying that if we get through it tonight, there's no reason why it couldn't be released tomorrow. So I'd like to separate the release date from your other changes, which I'm fine with, until we determine whether we might actually be able to get through this tonight or not.
Mr. Weibel, I think.
I move to defer this motion to the end of the discussion.
Which motion?
The motion to change the calendar.
The calendar?
Yes.
And there was a second by Mr. Kurtz on a motion to defer the motion on the floor, which is the calendaring issue. Discussion on the motion to defer, Mr. Alex.
I think Mr. Keeler makes an important procedural point, which is relevant to this, which is that if we vote to issue this tonight, we're voting to issue it. It does not come back to the full board, so there's not an opportunity to tweak the text more and vote on it in 2 weeks. So if there are board members who want to tweak the text more and vote on it in 2 weeks, someone needs to make a motion to defer. I would support Mr. Weibel's motion, but it's relevant only insofar as if someone makes a motion to defer in the interim, it does get forwarded to the board in 2 weeks.
Okay. The discussion on the floor is the motion to defer the timeline. Just at the end of this meeting, if not to the next meeting. Ms. Ammons.
I'm just concerned about not setting the precedence. Again, it's at the beginning of the RFP for a reason, but not setting our desire to really, really get this thing right and to not leave out any comments that could strengthen the RFP. I think the RFP right now has a good framework, and majority of it I have absolutely no problem with, but I want to make sure that this process is not just kind of rushed through without us having some real time to review whatever the changes are tonight, because what we have on our desk was an edited copy that we got tonight, not necessarily the one that was in the packet. So I haven't exactly read everything in the changed RFP that we just got tonight, and I'm a little uncomfortable with that, and that's why I was trying to move the time frame back a little bit so that we can have time to look at the changed RFP that we got tonight as well.
Mr. Webb, I'll point out the changes that are made on the fresh copy are changes in the dates, three short phrases on page 10, or single words on page 10, 11, and one paragraph on page 10.
And I argue
which
that
is not much.
Is something that we should at least consider, the changes.
Ms. Holderfield.
I'm okay with deferring a date to the end of the conversation. I think that might be more advantageous if we go through the rest of the RFP, and then if there are any date changes, it would be appropriate. Can I just ask for clarification on those dates again? I apologize. So the RFP issued, are we looking at releasing it the 23rd of March?
See, I think the only discussion at this point is whether we can defer this, correct?
Okay. So then, I agree to defer.
Well, we got to vote on it before you agree. Any further questions on the issue of deferral, Mr. Kibler?
I was going to call the question.
All those in favor, this is the motion to defer the chronology. All those in favor of the motion to defer to the end of this meeting the chronology, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are back to the main motion. Yes, we are.
No, there's.
Okay. Could I get a hand vote on that?
Carol,
it was pretty close to me.
Carol made a motion. I second it. Now.
And I just called on Carol to address her issue. What is the objection? I know Carol has a series of motions, and I've just called on Carol.
You agree
to Carol? Yes.
Well, you didn't tell me to withdraw a motion.
No, we don't have to withdraw a motion.
We do need to make a change.
By
16.
Well,
the chair made an affirmative of my motion, so
I have to withdraw the second.
You can ask for a positive
vote.
Yeah, he has overwritten.
Could I get a roll call vote on that?
No, it's out of order. No. Carol, do you have a motion?
Point of
the
order.
Our relationship to time because. I'll skip those for a minute. I would like to have a clarity from Ms. Busey on the selection process as it was described. And I would imagine this, but the methodology of selection process does attribute the 15% of cost as part of the criteria, and I'd like to have clarification on that before I put any extra change.
You're on page 7 under selection process, and that selection process defined there pertains only to the firms scheduled for interviews. The selection process that gets us to the shortlisted firms will not include the cost analysis because we won't have those costs when we're doing the initial evaluation of all the firms who present. So that evaluation will include methodology and qualifications, but not cost.
So, in the agreement, did you strike cost?
No, because it's not spelled out in this RFP. What is spelled out in the RFP is the evaluation criteria for the firms that will be presenting to the full board for evaluation. It says firms scheduled for interviews will be able to discuss their credentials, special skills, and particular approaches, and the selection criteria at that point in the process will be weighted as stated.
I'm a little confused about that. this process?
What we would use in the initial process for all the responses we get is the same evaluation criteria, basically methodology and qualifications without costs.
In the jail project planning team, costs in this process at this point?
When we receive all the responses and evaluating all the responses.
So in this part of this process, should we not strike 15% of the cost under the selection process? Selecting someone
creating this shortlist, correct? No, this is spelling out the selection for the shortlisted firms who present, not for creating the shortlist.
So but what's the selection process for getting to the shortlist?
It will be using qualifications and methodology only. We will be evaluating criteria that include methodology and qualifications only, not including costs.
Sheriff.
If I might, this is kind of related to, I think, what you guys are talking about. On page 16, and thank you for bringing this up, we did make an error, and if you look at the top, we talk about the top two firms. I think we should strike the word two out of that, and then that gets back to where you and Deb are talking about, I think. So.
Well, and I actually wanted to also, if I could, before we go to page 16, if you would stay on page 7, in the first paragraph, it says the jail project planning team may elect to shortlist two or three firms. I think that should be amended to say the jail project planning team shall shortlist the firms that best meet the selection criteria and schedule those firms for interviews. So we are not limiting the number of firms that would be shortlisted. And then that plays into what the sheriff just said about page 16. And what I would recommend on page 16 under that first line is that the budget proposal will be submitted in a separate sealed envelope, which will be opened after each of the top ranked firms have been identified, not indicating a specific number. So any of the top-ranked firms, so you may see two, you may see three, you may see four. I mean, at this point, we have no idea how many responses we will get. We want to make sure that the firms that are best qualified have the opportunity to present to the full county board.
Mr. Alex.
If the chair would indulge me, is the chair willing to entertain a straw vote to determine how many people are proposing to make changes to the text of this RFP on the board floor? Because I'm on the verge of, at the risk of incurring everybody's wrath again, moving to defer this to full board, because I think it's a terrible practice to try to write what's an essentially a legal document in at the committee level. I mean, it's great to discuss it, but when it comes down to signing off on, you know, commas and periods, we got to make sure we get this right. And I'm not comfortable asking Deb and the sheriff to, you know, throw ink at this as we go. I'd like them to have more time to get this right and to entertain the comments that are being made tonight so that they could bring them back to the full board. Carol, do you have a couple of things that you want to change, or is this something that we're going to have a lengthy discussion about and try to make major changes that could significantly affect the RFP? My request was to the chair. You know, are we going to be here? Do we have hours worth of changes to make to this thing,
well,
or are we there?
I don't know whether we have hours until we see what we have. I guess let me put it this way: how many members have additional amendments or changes that they want to propose? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are they quote substantive or are they errata, meaning commas and capitals? Okay. Give me an estimate, folks. I don't know because I did not get the materials.
I mean,
sent
I think
to me.
I do think
and
that.
Never answered.
This is first and foremost. I appreciate the board members because I do understand the stress connected to this discussion. And I understand the time frame, too, because this is a committee of the whole, and we happen to be 27 people instead of a small 7 to 8 man of us. This makes it a lot more tedious and difficult, so I respect that. but I don't want to take this issue lightly at all. And unfortunately, my own personal time is very occupied with my job, so I don't have time to necessarily take all of that to do this. So I've been working on it, but I'm only here at the committee, which is where this is supposed to happen, and for my input to be put in is at the committee.
And so
that is the reason why I asked for us to move the time frame back a little bit so that you can consider some of the other comments that I've written on my paper. And with a new copy tonight, that impacts that, because the time frame is impacted also in the new copy we got tonight, which is why I was trying to move that back a little bit in the first place. So yes, I do have substantial comments that I'd like to add, and may require board members to respond. I don't know.
Mr. Alex Hsu.
I had a point of parliamentary procedure. Is there a mechanism by which we can move to defer this until the full board but continue discussion?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because you'd have to defer it to a specific time, and then it would be no longer subject to discussion upon deferral.
Thank you.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Could we limit the amount of time we spend on this, and then if that time is exceeded, then we have a motion to defer?
You'd need to change the rules of the county board by proper legal notice, publication, okay. The whole bit. Have fun doing it. Mr. Weifel.
What I would like to see is let's get everything out there. Let's discuss it.
Please.
And then at the end of the discussion, we can decide what we're going to do with it. But I don't like us deferring it. And then Mr. Beth puts out a request. I send a note out to the county board members, send in the request, and we get diddly squat. Let's talk about it now, and then after we're done discussing all the stuff, then we decide, do we need to sit down and look at it?
Then diddly squat can be fun, too. Ms. Holderfield.
Pius, I agree with you. I'd really like to get it out there and just have it presented so that we do know everything that's in there. And I just think it would be so much better for us to grasp, wrap our minds around it if we know everything that's in there. And then we can dissect it and make the changes. Does that seem unreasonable?
Let me do this. Because I think Carol has a lot of substantive motions, substantive things that she wants to discuss. Since we were on page 7, and Carol previously had the floor with regard to the substance, and Deb Busey had suggested a mechanism where she would say the short list of the firms. Is that problematic for folks? Do I have unanimous consent that we can use the word the firms?
Yes.
There's unanimous consent on that one. Yes.
Ms. Busey, the firms would not necessarily mean two firms.
There is no requirement because this is not a QBS process. But I'm thinking that there's a strong likelihood that there may be three or four. So rather than say two or three or four, that we just say we'll shortlist the best qualified firms for presentations. And it's helpful that you're going to designate an entire evening for this as well. But know that we generally allow an hour for each firm's presentation. So, you know, if you have five firms, you'll start at 5 and end at 10. But, you know, that's...
Someone will order pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, we have made some progress. It's the firms. Carol, I'm giving you the floor, Carol, to continue as long as we need to get through your suggestions. Then I will go through Patsy's suggestions, unless they're the same suggestions. And then I think Mr. Alex had a suggestion, and we'll I'm going to go right through it. We'll work. We're going to earn our keep tonight.
I will go to scope of services desired. Item number one.
Carol, so because it's being recorded.
Page 10, item number one. And let me look at the other copy, too, because I could be reading the wrong thing. Okay. All right, so under item number one, the consultant should examine the various factors. Okay, it's the same one. It says the consultant should examine the various factors contributing to the current correctional center population. This study should examine county population growth trends, crime trends, changes in laws, practices within the criminal justice system, and I'm including a sentence right here, including any that could contribute to racial disparities in jail population versus county population. Criminal justice system, including any that could contribute to racial disparities in jail population versus county demographics.
Point of information.
Sure.
It doesn't say just the word racial disparity. It says that there's a difference between the demographics of the jail versus the county. So I think we're saying too much there. I think it just said racial disparity in the jail population, period.
I'll get you, Mr. Carter. Help me, Chair Weibel and Ms. Ammons, because I think I understand what you're both saying. You're trying to say the same thing, only differently.
I think you see racial disparity in the county jail. Clearly, you're saying there's a disparity.
And it's by the numbers.
Well, I think it's obviously by the numbers, and it would be versus the local population. So I don't think you need to mention the local county population.
It's assumed within the concept of disparity from a linguistic point of view.
Racial disparity
in the population. Would you find that to be acceptable?
Yes.
That we would look at the fact that there is racial disparity? Do we have unanimous consent on that issue?
No.
Okay. We'll keep going unless someone makes a motion. Mr. Kurt.
What this whole purpose was to stop this and go back and have time to re-study it and come up with a better observation about it.
Well, there was a motion to...
Why don't we give that time and then you can bring all of these entities into it?
Well, we had a motion to defer this to committee last month so that we could do that.
We don't need to know all of this to get the time.
Well,
we need the time then go back and put all this into play.
Mr. Carter, it's a public meeting. We had a motion to defer last month to send it to this committee to do what we are doing tonight to resolve this issue. I have given Carol Emmons the floor so that she can make her suggestions, and I think there's progress being made. Carol, your next suggestion.
All right. In item two, it says that consultants should perform a study on the inmate population. This is why I'm identifying this, because it says this in here, including demographics by race, ethnicity, gender, and income. In order to describe the correctional center population and provide information useful for the planning of programs in our correctional center, so on and so forth.
So,
it says including, I'm adding right after inmate population, meaning we've been trying to get actual breakdowns of this kind of statistic but have not been able to do it in the past. To just get all of it at this point would include demographics of race, ethnicity, gender, and income.
Okay. Your next item. Are the only two on that page? Okay.
I'm going from the old packet. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Page 11. At the top. This study will require interviewing staff in the various criminal justice agencies. I'm sorry, top paragraph, page 11. Oh, okay, you on the other one, I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's
about? Oh, sorry. Let me find
the other one.
Page
11, paragraph 5.
Okay. All right. Yes, this study. All right. So it says this study will require interviewing staff on, and the new packet is page 11 and it's number 5.
Okay.
And it's the 1-3 sentence where it says this study will require. And then the old one is the top of page. This study will require interviewing staff in various criminal justice agencies, after agencies I put, as well as community-based treatment and prevention programs. That's the only insertion there. And then it says, an examination of appropriate data on supervision and treatment.
Can you rephrase that again? As well as community-based...
This study will require interviewing staff in various criminal justice agencies, and then I put as well as community-based treatment and prevention programs, an examination of appropriate data on supervision and treatment programs, and case processing of offenders.
Is the, because I suspect that one is not going to be objected to.
Mr. Chair, one more time with the language.
Sir. Go ahead, Carol, one more time. That same sentence that you just inserted.
And where?
It'd be after. Go ahead, Carol.
This study will require interviewing staff in various criminal justice agencies, and then right there I inserted, as well as community-based treatment and prevention programs, an examination of appropriate data on supervision and treatment programs, and case processing of offenders.
The sheriff, so, do you have any objection to that
one
language?
Of them is just adding community-based right. service providers.
And no objection. Discussion. Is there any objection by members of the board to adding that language? Mr. Alex.
Okay, do we need to add education?
Community-based
treatment and education programs. I think you're
treatment,
right.
Treatment, education, and prevention programs. Okay, no problem.
Do we have unanimous consent to do that?
Yes.
Seeing no objection, new language. Go ahead, Carol.
I only have one little word I want to change from or to and that's the next sentence. Based on this information, the consultant will identify ways to expand the existing alternatives to incarceration and to add appropriate new alternatives. Just an and instead of
you want to change the or to and?
Correct.
I think it should be an and/or.
That'd probably be a pretty good.
I'll say why I.
Everybody should be happy then.
Go ahead, Carol.
I'm just going to say why I suggest an and, because the overarching participation from the public has been to find exactly this, which is the new alternatives, and we put an or, makes it optional. You put an and, it makes it part of the scope of the work. And that's why I want to put and instead of or.
Go ahead, Ms. Oakfield.
Oh, there are many.
If any, yeah.
No, I would object to if any, because it makes it optional or makes it optional and makes it part of the scope of the work. We want
Stephanie, there are definitely a lot of other alternatives.
There are lots.
Everyone in the field knows that. I mean, it's not like there's none. They definitely exist. Go ahead.
So we already have so many programs already that are a part of it. So would that mean that we would be adding more if it says and?
It doesn't require us to add anything. It requires us to look. It's an assessment.
Alternative. That's all that sentence does is other alternatives. And
right. Then there's...
It is part of the. It would be part of the proposal, Mr. Alex.
I just want to say the language is identify ways to expand alternatives to incarceration and to add new alternatives. I mean, I think and is appropriate because we're just asking them to explore all the alternatives. They're not saying we have to implement them. We're just saying we have to look at.
Do we have unanimous consent for the word and being inserted?
Yeah.
Any objection? And is there and such?
Can I
go ahead?
Right there, where. where it says that, should it say and to identify appropriate new alternatives instead of and to add appropriate new alternatives?
Yeah. Is there unanimous consent for the word identify?
Yes.
Seeing no objection, it is identified.
If any, after appropriate.
No, we're not going to put if any because we'll have a fight. We're going to get through some of this tonight. We are going to get through some of it. Go ahead, Carol. You've got the floor.
All right. The number seven, it says, let me just read here. I'm asking to strike the last sentence. And I think that's done something. If the consultant has the experience and expertise to make suggestions in regards to repurposing options for the facility, recommendations should be included. My whole thought was what we was trying to do was to get the recommendations. I'd like to strike that entire sentence from number seven.
On the basis of redundancy?
Yes, because we were already supposed to be getting alternatives, which is what they were supposed to be making recommendations in the first place.
Deb, what do you think?
I don't think the rest of this is addressing repurposing the facility. And that was added at the request of a county board member. And basically, if we hire a consultant who possesses that level of expertise, then we would like them to provide us with that information. But we are not mandating that the consultant we hire have that level of expertise.
So can I ask, I don't know who really asked for that, but I'm trying to figure out why would we hire a consulting firm that can't address some portion of our scope?
It's not the scope of the needs assessment, it is a...
Exactly, that's my point. It's not really the scope of the needs assessment.
Right. But it was requested that whoever we hire provide us with assistance in repurposing the facility. That was requested. And so that's why that's in there. It's perfectly fine if you want to take it out, but that's why it's in there.
Okay. Carol has the floor, and she wants that sentence removed. Patsy, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, please, because it was my suggestion. And the reason for suggesting it has to do with going back to page 4, the second paragraph on page 4, as to what are the goals of this RFP, and that is to look at the downtown jail to update it, close the downtown jail and build onto the satellite, or maintenance only. And I'm going to mention that when it gets to be my turn, but it folds back to this because one of the things that I think is important as we make these decisions is if any of those others come into play, we need to be thinking about what is happening with that downtown jail building, and hence it seems to be all part of our gestalt thinking on this to have some suggestions on what possibly could be done with that building. And I'm not wild about demolishing it. I really would like us to have some good conversations on how it can be repurposed. And I would like to hear from people who are experts in this, who have gone to communities where, indeed, they probably have suggested building a new facility and what is then done with the former facility as a good possibility. But I would assume any good consultant. Thank you.
Mr. Maxwell.
Thank you, Chairman Bass. I'd like to address that. As a matter of fact, that was one of my comments to Deb and the sheriff. I don't like the word if in there. If we're going to hire a consultant to do something, let's tell him to do it. Let's say the consultant shall make these suggestions. That would be my recommendation. That was my only concern with this.
I think Mr. James, then Mr. Alex.
Well, when I read that, and just hearing what Mr. Maxwell said, I can see where we'd put it in there, but then again, if I, once we determine what we're going to do and that building is vacant for sale, I'm going to look at it as a buyer, and I'm going to hire my own crew to tell me what it would be best used for, depending on what I want to use it. So, I mean, it'd be useful information in one hand, but do we really need it? Because we're looking for a needs assessment of what we need, not what that building can be used for later.
Mr. Alex.
I think it's redundant with the first sentence, which is, the consultant should evaluate the existing downtown jail structure as to its suitability for other uses. I mean, that covers it for me. That's a shell.
That's why my first response to Carol was, is it because of redundancy? And we spent 10 minutes discussing that which is redundant. And it's not Carol's fault. Carol made the correct motion, I think. Mr. Langenheim.
What harm does it do?
It's excess verbiage, and it is redundant. Let's see if we can get a consensus on, because leaving out, if the consultant has the experience and expertise, makes suggestions regarding upstream should be included. Do we have a unanimous consent on that? To delete that sentence?
Yes. Yes.
No, seeing no objections, that's deleted. See, we're making progress. Carol, go ahead.
This is great.
You should watch Markup in Congress. It's so much worse than this.
The second sentence in number 8, it's only one word that I actually want to strike. It says, this estimate does not, but I want to strike not, need to include other considerations such as site development, professional fees. I think it should include. I like to strike not. And can I finish?
Go ahead.
That I actually like to change.
Go ahead.
The highlighted yellow one that was actually added, I would like to, this cost estimate should include identification, and I put all operational costs, and that's put a period. I struck the last sentence because in my thought process dealing with this contract, I didn't want to preempt with narration the consultant who would be giving us best practices recommendations, and so I wanted to strike the last part of the sentence, keeping this cost estimate should include all identification of all operational costs, and I put a period there.
So what you're suggesting is all of these other things such as relocation are inherent in examining all. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to that, Sheriff or Ms. Busey?
Sheriff.
I don't have one.
Sheriff has no objection. The reason I'm asking the sheriff is I know the sheriff and Deb have worked on this, and there's a thought process that has gone into it. Do we? Yes. Go ahead.
I have an objection because I'm the one who put it in.
Okay. Let's go for it.
And I'm not. I'm willing to withdraw my objection as long as we can talk about it. I think that this again was a citizen comment who was concerned that certain costs might not be taken into account, and so the goal was not to tell the consultant how to do their job, but to say, make sure that you're aware that this is a unique situation. We do have two jails. We do have, you know, we do have issues related to the potential of split operations versus single operations.
I would assume the word all operational costs inhere to looking at transportation costs, outboarding, the whole bit. Mr. Weigel.
What we could do is like make an identification of all operational costs, including temporary recall of inmates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, print.
Mm-hmm.
That way he's happy, they're happy. It's win-win.
Aren't we all so nice tonight? Ms. Ammons.
I can understand Mr. Weigel's comment, and I just want to go back and make sure that at least we agree to take the not out.
I don't think we've got to the not.
The not was first.
I know, but I'm trying to go for the things where I think we can get unanimous consent. Can we get unanimous consent for all operational costs, parent,
including
Seeing no objection, that's the new language. Now we go back to the not. Mr. Weibel.
Do we need the sentence at all?
The not?
No, the whole sentence. This estimate, the whole sentence. Do we need it?
The estimate does...
We're asking for an estimate. That estimate should say, the estimate should tell us, here's what's in the estimate. Here it is. Now, if it includes things like that, fine. If it doesn't, well, we know that.
Discussion, further discussion. Mr. Alex.
I believe that the intent was to make sure that we're considering total cost of ownership, not just facilities and construction costs. So I think we need some reference to the operational costs that result as a consequence of the decision that, we may ultimately make.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't speak to something, but I'm going to speak to it. Having gone through the courthouse process and the youth detention process and what have you, and I know that some things, Mr. Carter was there too, some things seem to have gotten left out in some of that process, and I know many people thought that the tower was actually included in that original thing, and it wasn't, but you could easily assume it was. So I think a little bit of detail might be in order there.
Could I help you out a little bit?
Sure. I love help.
It bothers me when you say you're going to defer something, then you sit here and keep on building. Come on. Why keep on building it if you're going to defer it? Because if they tell you no, then what you got? If they say we're not going to give you any more money, might take your paycheck away from you.
Okay.
Now what you going to do? Come on, let's be realistic, see?
Miss Astrid Burksum, she's been waiting a long time, and I will come back, Stephanie.
If you're going to include these additional costs, shouldn't you include the extra cost of staff regarding the people, because it costs more at the downtown jail than it does at the cell?
I think that's addressed actually in the next paragraph. Mr. Langham, we're addressing the knot issue.
Where are we, on 9?
We're on 8 with the knot.
Can I say where that came from?
Sheriff, listen.
Sheriff.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it matters not to me whether we have that in or not. We actually got that from another, what we thought was a very well-written RFP. I believe the gentleman's logic was fees like that, and Alan might be able to address it. How can I say? They're different fees that you incur when you go out and bid a building that we ought to know what they are ourselves, I think is the logic. But it makes no difference to us whether you include that or strike that.
But my understanding of what Carol is saying is we strike the word not and add the word S to need. Stephanie.
I guess I'm just a fanatic on this, maybe overly fanatic. What I would like to see in there would be it should be included. I don't like surprises. And dealing with construction, you're always going to come up with surprises. And I like absolutes with construction projects. So I would like to see that this estimate should include other considerations.
I think that's what the point of Carol's motion was.
Yeah, but I just like should.
I would just like to speak to this because I don't want you to think that this consultant is going to provide to you what will become the project budget. And what this RFP is asking the consultant to do is provide you with his best professional estimates of construction costs of the space he's telling you need to address the needs of your jail. And that's all. And I don't think this person will necessarily have the expertise to be able to provide you with all of these other cost estimates, and it would be very dangerous to take the study that will result from this RFP and say, we now have a project budget. You really don't have that until after you've hired the architectural engineering firm through the QBS process, and that firm, based on the jail needs assessment of the space that we need, has has gone through the initial phase of schematic design. That's when you really have a budget.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm trying to think who was next. Ms. Jan Anderson, you've been waiting for. No? Mr. James, then Ms. Petrie.
I was going to just say what Deb basically said. Basically, now we're getting into the design phase, and he's going to tell us what site development's going to end up costing us and what other things may cost us. And he's not going to have a clue until we decide on how we're going to proceed and what needs we have as far as space. So that's what we're looking at right now. We're not looking at what's all this other going to tie in, because as you well know, there's things that we have done in the past with the highway department and others that offset some of our costs. So until we get past this assessment need and you get into the building and design, that's when all those questions come up. And so I think we just need to strike it.
I think Patsy was next.
Yes, as we're working on this, I want to make certain that a concern that I submitted, that with the satellite jail, by the time an addition is put on it, that jail is going to be close to 20 years old, so there'll be work that'll be need to be done on that jail. And I want to make certain that Section 8 is worded in such a way that that type of work is included in whatever the consultant sees needing to be done if the satellite jail is the chosen option for an addition.
I think Mr. Alex is next.
Real quick, I don't think it matters whether it's in there or not, because the only estimate we're getting, if the consultant determines that their recommendation is to build jail space, and they tell us the numbers could be, they're a little dumb to give them what the engineering and site costs for private and the whether we have the 10% or they have the 10%, I'm not sure if it's going to be.
Is there compromise language such as the estimate needs to acknowledge other considerations such as site development, professional fees, and contingency fees? My concern is, in fact, going through the courthouse, where some of that came as a bit of a surprise on down the road. And I, at least if we see it here, when no one can claim surprise. Would that be an acceptable linguistic change, Carol?
Yes.
Acknowledge? Do we have unanimous consent on acknowledge? Seeing no objection? Put acknowledge the need to include. Okay, we're making progress. Carol, you're still at the floor.
All right, so number 9, I just want to ask a question, though. In this process in number 9, what I did was, in my paper, I struck the second sentence, and I'll explain why. Not that I want to strike it. I don't want to strike it. What I want to do is leave open for the consultant to develop. It says the consultant should develop a forecast of sheriff's office space needs, including specific secure areas designed for various types of evidence storage operations. The planner should interview the sheriff and staff and determine the types of functions and offices that must be accommodated in a new building. I'm trying to figure out, would this happen prior to this person doing the design? Wouldn't this be something that needed to happen so they can come up with the design?
Right, the interviewing is how they come up with the space needs assessment.
Okay, so this is more of an interview process, not necessarily, this is part of methodology. This is not a scope. This is what I'm trying to get to. This is not really a scope.
In other words, you're saying that the first sentence says what it is that needs to be done, and how they accomplish that is the methodology of the very, yeah.
Yes.
I think that's probably true.
That's why I was saying it seems that that should not be there, and it should be maybe somewhere in the description earlier, but not as a scope.
Go ahead.
So I'm asking
Go ahead,
to break it out of 9, and you can put that in the process for methodology.
Okay.
Are we agreed that that can be put in the methodology section? Unanimous consent on that?
No, not for the
sheriff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Whether we put it in here or whether we put it in the methodology they use, I think they have to interview us to see what our needs are.
Okay, my only comment then is we should probably start cleaning your building.
Well, we're striking the whole sentence, right?
Oh, the whole sentence. Yeah. Well, it's moving the methodology.
Right, we're moving that.
We move the methodology, we try to take out in a new building. So
I would agree. It presupposes an outcome. Okay, we have unanimous consent on that item. Carol, keep going.
And then I just had one other question, because that's all of my actual physical changes, except to go back to item number one, that I don't believe we got unanimous consent.
I know, that's why I was going to go through the stuff we could get unanimous consent on first.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion at this point to include the sentence as I structured it earlier, with the including the racial disparity term in jail population. I don't think we got consent on that.
And we're on, that is on page 10.
I'm back on page 10, number 1.
And why don't we do it as two motions? The first motion is, and that can contribute to racial disparity in
population.
Jail population.
By jail population, yes.
That is your motion.
That is my motion.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Alex. Discussion. Mr. James.
I really don't see what that has to do with the needs of the facility. What, you know, I don't know what she's trying to get at by saying that. I mean, to me, we're looking at what is best serving whoever is in there, you know, and to look at certain factors, to me, based on race or income or anything else, really has nothing to do with what the building needs to be. I mean, there could be people in there like Rod Blagojevich that outburns all of us, and how are we going to factor him in there? I just don't see where language like that needs to be in this assessment study. It's an assessment of what we need as far as either building or maintenance or what have you, not as far as who we're putting in jail.
Carol, speak to your motion.
Thank you. Actually, the item number one does exactly what I'm asking, and the reason why I'm asking for this to be specific to including racial disparities in jail population, because item number one says that the consultant should examine the various factors, and that factor was left out. And so I'm just adding it as a factor because that is what they're going to be examining, and I can't see how we could not add that as a factor, as if that's not the big elephant in the jail.
And it's certainly data that is readily available. Yes. As to the motion.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let's add to that. I concur with Mr. James. To me, when it says should examine the various factors, that's no more than what we just did on page 12 of identify all of the operational costs. I mean, when we start into singling out different specific items, and are we going to say mental health? Are we going to say females? Are we going to say the other? I think it's population in a whole, and that is saying examine the various factors, contributing no different than all on the back page.
Further discussion. Mr. Weigel, we do mention mental health.
Sheriff, yeah. What's your opinion?
I don't know that it matters. Either way, I think it's whatever the board is comfortable with. If you want to include the racial disparity or racial makeup, it's fairly easy statistics.
By the way, we do mention mental health and what have you throughout this document, but not race. Because I know that this is not a matter of unanimity, what I'm going to do, we have a motion on the floor, I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll on this. Yes means to adopt Carol's motion regarding racial disparity. No means it fails. Carol? Or do I need to pay?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Read the motion.
Oh, read it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. It would say the consultant should examine the various factors contributing to the current correctional center population. This study should examine county population growth trends, crime trends, changes in laws, practices within the criminal justice system, including any that could contribute to racial disparities in jail population, and other factors that have affected the number of pretrial defendants and sentenced offenders who are detained in the correctional center and the lengths of their stays.
And I would just ask that the one change that's there, which wasn't in your version that you read from, it says other factors that have or will affect the number of pretrial defendants.
That's correct.
Oh, I see that.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? Mr. Carter?
Yeah. I just want somebody to answer this question. You build a jail, I already know what the population is going to be. So is that going to make any difference? If you build a jail, are that going to deter the population that already been invested in the jail? Can you answer that question for me?
Ms. Ammons?
I don't know if I can answer
so
it really
quick. Why are we spending all this time with that nonsense?
Well, let me just clarify first and foremost that there is no way to identify if there are racial disparities in any institution without actually putting it on paper and recording it. That's the first thing. The second thing is this number one actually does make specific requests for statistics. We know hypothetically who's in the jail, but we have to have this in a study because the public may not want to have the jail as it currently is once you get to that point. Then I do agree with you, Mr. Carter, in some respect that we should be talking about really how much this costs.
How to keep them out. Give some education.
And I agree with you.
And some good or upgrade to keep them out of the jail. That's what we're supposed to be about.
But at this point, we're dealing with a scope of a needs assessment, and the needs assessment cannot ignore what everything the University of Illinois is studying right now on crime, criminal justice, education, and not put it in this scope. And so that's why it's being presented today as an amendment to this.
Clerk, call the roll.
Edwards?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Michaels?
No.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
I'm going to give Carol a vote, yes.
Why won't you?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bensel?
No.
Berkson?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Betts?
Yes.
Can I vote, please? Yes.
I apologize.
I'm sitting in the wrong seat.
Yes. Yeah.
Mary?
Yes. Yeah. Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, but yeah. Okay, now we have the next motion,
Carol.
Maybe
I yield, I'm done.
No, you had the next.
No, the number two.
You had number two.
Oh, number two. Oh, wait, okay.
I remember we separated them so we could get them passed.
Oh, number two was on the actual number two. Okay, gotcha. So I guess I'll make a motion again. I'll make a motion in number two, and it should read as such. The consultant should perform a study of the inmate population, and I inserted there, including demographic by race and ethnicity, gender, and income, in order to describe the correctional center population and provide information useful for the planning of programs, etc. That's my motion.
Yes, Ms. Sheriff. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Ms. Cohort. Sheriff.
I really don't have any strong feelings either way. I just want to point out that you know, age, race, and sex are fairly easy to determine, and you can get a whole year's of statistics or multiple years. But when you talk about income, it is not something that we track at all. It might cost more. I suppose you could have the consultant say, well, we're going to pick March 15th as the day, and we're going to inventory everybody in the jail who will tell us, but that is not a statistic we keep in any way. I suspect it will add to the cost, and I think it'd be extremely difficult to get it for a period of time. So
I can strike income on that and end it at gender.
Carol, is that acceptable? Lorraine, is that acceptable to strike income? Okay. Now we know what the motion is. The sheriff doesn't care. Have strong feelings one way or the other. Once he doesn't care, we all care. Discussion.
Roll call is.
Would people want a roll call on it?
Yes.
We'll have a roll call if there's no further discussion.
Call the roll.
Cowart?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
Yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
McKenzie? Michaels?
No.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bensel?
No.
Dirksen?
Yes.
Harder?
Yes.
Betts?
Yes. Motion carries. Carol, did you have any further suggestions or amendments?
No, sir.
Okay. Now I'm going to shift over to Patsy Petrie because she was next in line.
Thank you very much. First, I have a question for Ms. Busey. Actually, it has two parts. First part has to do with explaining to us exactly what you're thinking about within your category of criteria, the subset of methodology that you've given so much percentage to, the RFP description, so much percentage to. I'm having a little trouble wrapping my head around that aspect.
Give us a page number.
Page 7.
You mean the percentages?
No. Well, I'll get to the percentages. That's part two. I'm more interested in, you're setting up criteria. One
right.
of the criteria is methodology. Within that subset of criteria, what are you thinking about on your matrix that you have for methodology? What are you looking for?
You know, it's in my office. I don't have it with me. There are like four different areas. It's basically the firm's unique approach or how it says it's going to, you know, do this work.
Are we going to get a chance to see the matrix, the two matrices for these judgments, just so we have some feel about what the committee or the project team is going to be scoring on?
Sure.
That would be great. And then back to Ms. Ammons' beginning conversation with you on the percentages. It doesn't describe in the RFP how the first round of selection is going to be done. I'm assuming since 15% for the cost is out for the first round, is it going to be 50-50 then on the two sets of criteria that the project team are going to be used?
It'll probably be more like 60-40.
60-40. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for those answers. Now, I have two macro concerns that I'd like to put before my fellow board members. First one focuses on page 4, and under introduction, the second paragraph. And one of the things that's been running through my mind is, based on what Mr. Reinhardt verbalized to us recently and gave us in documentation, I believe during the month of June, if I'm reflecting correctly, on cost to do some maintenance at the downtown jail. And within that second paragraph, we've agreed on adding the word maintenance only. I'm not arguing about that. What I'm trying to do is decouple these variables and decouple maintenance only, so that becomes a somewhat separate conversation within the board for us to decide if, in fact, we want to do some work on the downtown jail to make it a bit more livable, because timeline is, what, 2015, 2016, where we'll still have people housed there, and people have strongly expressed opinions and views about the condition of that jail. People in public participation and also fellow county board members. And if we keep that within the second paragraph and we work along this timeline that we haven't accepted but has been proposed, it will be quite... we've pushed down any thought of maintenance on the downtown jail many months down the line, and I'm trying to decouple it. So if, in fact, we do want to do some maintenance, that might get started faster than going through this timeline on the RFP proposals. That doesn't mean that we don't want a consultant to consider the downtown jail as possibly being totally renovated on the inside to be a new jail inside. I'm talking about purely the maintenance of that jail. And the way it's set up here, that's one of the things the consultant is going to be focusing on. And I'd like to hear some conversation.
I guess I would suggest to you that the maintenance of the jail is a facilities issue, but it's a separate facility issue as opposed to the assessment issue. We will be doing maintenance whether we like it or not.
Okay, then why are we having the maintenance here in the second paragraph?
Sure.
I think exactly to keep all the options open. I mean, I'll bet everybody in here a beer they're not going to say keep that facility exactly as it is, but I suppose that's theoretically a possibility, and I think that's why we put that in there.
And what I want to entertain this evening, as the hour grows later, is specific motions to address the RFQ that's going out. Whatever it's called at this point. And there's that comments about decoupling doesn't help. It's better to say, I move that.
I will. I move that we decouple the maintenance only factor in the second paragraph to be considered entirely separately.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Emmons. Discussion on that motion. Mr. Quisenberry.
I'm with you, Mr. Betts. I don't think that belongs in this RFP. We're going to have to maintain that building for the next 2, 4, 5, 20 years, perhaps, if what they recommend is we stay using it. That's a facilities maintenance issue, and I think we're spending time on something we don't need to do if we pursue that change.
Mr. Alex.
I strenuously object to taking that language out. The reason I asked to have that clarified was that if we do not offer the consultant an opportunity of essentially no build, we're effectively telling the consultant, do you want us to rebuild the downtown jail or do you want us to build a new jail? And if you've heard anything in public comment over the last 6 weeks, it's been, we'd like to find an alternative to having to do either if such an alternative exists. So I don't think that the fact that we are giving them a no build alternative obviates us from doing any maintenance on it in the meantime. Binds us to do or not do maintenance on it in the meantime, if we should do it anyway.
Mr. James.
Well, maintenance is a loose term because I agree it could go anywhere from plumbing to door locks. Why don't we, you know, word it like possible major structural items, such as the tuck pointing, any other roofing. I don't structural and equipment items instead of maintenance. Maintenance is a loose term. I mean, you can call me up to unplug your toilet.
What's that number? Carol.
I agree, Mr. James, on that. I understand we wanted to put something else there instead of do nothing, which is not what we want. We do want maintenance is also assumed that we're going to do maintenance because we have to anyway. In this case, it would have to say, it says remodel and update the current downtown jail, close the downtown jail, and rebuild on an addition onto the satellite by relocating the bed space, or we need to actually change that
major
to be
structure.
Facility, current building, something, because it could be
What about maintain the current facility?
They're maintaining
it now.
Just barely. Ms. Anderson and Mr. Kibler.
Following up on her comment, I guess my question would be if we were going to do the tuck pointing or something major, wouldn't that have to come back to the board for our approval?
That's a facilities issue that we always
have to address. So it doesn't bother me having it stay there, and I would assume, I should not assume anything, but that we would not want minor things done that occur that we don't know are happening. But if it's a major budget item, it's going to come to this board for us to decide. So I don't see why we have to do the rewording.
Something needs to be in this proposal that talks about status quo. It needs to be listed because we need to compare what remodeling versus closing versus doing major whatever, but status quo has to be part of it so we can compare it later on and determine what is the best feasible option with the money we got.
I think that's what the former word do nothing was.
Correct. So I would still like to see, that's when we're changing it to maintenance only. I was under the idea that it was synonymous, but it sounds like it's not synonymous with do nothing.
I would say it's synonymous because maintenance, we have to maintain the facility while we have folks in there. You can't just let the electricity go and the walls fall in and the water leak. So I think that is part of a status quo. Mr.
I see the state's attorney would like to.
Because I thought it would be important to specify for potential firms what we thought or what was being discussed as possible options. And I really do see those as three very different things. Remodel and update the current downtown jail, meaning some significant structural change to the layout of that facility and how much that would cost, which was what the spoke to at the original meeting on this issue. Or close the downtown jail and build a satellite facility and very different options. Or major changes to the downtown jail. There has been some suggestion about the state says there's nothing wrong with your jail. Why are we putting all this money into it? And a consultant ought to review that issue and address that as, is that even a possibility or shouldn't it be? So I'm just
appreciate what you're saying.
Thought process was with regards to giving potential applicants what our thoughts at this point were as to options. We're not talking about closing the satellite jail completely and building a completely cells. I think it's important to tell them these are the things we think are
Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, Tom. At the risk of oversimplifying, all we're really wanting to do is eliminate the word nothing.
It's already been eliminated.
It's been done.
We've already done that. There's a motion on the floor to decouple the concept. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
What's the motion?
It's Patsy's motion to decouple the language on maintenance of the downtown jail. Go ahead and clarify.
My major concern associated with making this motion is that Mr. Reinhardt has presented to us a potential cost factor of in the area of $1.8 million to just to get the downtown jail to homeostasis, if nothing else. And if that is the cost of money that will have to go into that downtown jail, I think that needs to be a serious part of the overall picture and conversation of these other potential options that we have laid out here. And that was the reason for asking that where I'm interpreting maintenance, this means maintenance to me, and I wanted to set that outside of the other options that we are asking a consultant to bring back information to us about. If we're dropping that much money into that building, then we need to have some really clear idea of why we're doing it. I'm not ready to drop that much money into a building that will end up getting torn down in 5 years.
Pius.
Mr. Reinhardt just gave us an estimate what could happen in the next 5 years or so. We don't know what it will need. He just gave us a worst-case scenario. It may not need much. It may need more than that. We don't really know. He just throws the numbers off because somebody asked what might be needed. It's all based on the length of time the building's been in existence, and some of the equipment in the building has been in existence. Mr. Barnard, am I wrong?
correct.
Thank you.
There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same.
Aye.
Motion's defeated. Next item, Patsy.
Okay. This is just to get it on the public record. We've had
make it a motion.
What?
Make a motion.
No, I just want to make a statement so it's
make a motion.
A motion on the floor.
It needs to be a motion. We have
okay. I make a motion that the request for costs that are in the RFP be removed from the RFP.
Specific paragraph and page.
Okay, 16. No, not the consultant costs, the projected costs of the different projects.
Is there a second to the motion?
In the scope.
Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to motion? Motion dies for lack of a second. Next matter. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. There was someone else who had a motion that they wanted to bring up. I believe it was Astrid.
Page 7 on the selection process. I think the most important decision we're going to make is this RFP. It's choosing the firm that decides our needs assessment. And you've seen that different people have very, very different ideas of what our needs are. And I'm sure these companies also have very, very different ideas of what our needs are. And I think, and you know, once we have that needs assessment, the train is leaving the station. After that, it's our job to implement it, find the money, whatnot. So getting the right needs assessment is the most important decision we're going to make. And I board as a whole should make the selection process on this, not the jail project planning team, but the, I move that the whole board as a committee of the whole review the proposals and submit recommendations to the board and decide the shortlist and so on.
There's a second by Mr. Rosales. Go ahead.
Under the current process, I know that the project team does the shortlisting.
Mm-hmm.
But then who does the final selection for the top firm?
County board.
Pardon?
The county board.
County board. So.
So
my question is, you want the county board to do the shortlisting also?
Yes.
Okay, that's fundamentally that's your change.
My interpretation of Astrid's motion, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that all of the people who apply to be part of the RFP, whether it's one firm or 50 firms, all of them would come before the county board and make a presentation? No?
No.
Help me.
That the whole board would review the proposals.
And shortlist.
And shortlist, yes. And then the people come before the board.
Individually? So we provide every board member with the entire response of all firms who submit and the evaluation document, and every board member then reviews every response, evaluates them independently, and submits all of their evaluation forms for consolidated.
The most important thing in the entire jail process that we can do, I think it's worth the time, I think it's worth the expense. We're going to spend a lot of money on this. Let's get the company we want. Let's be sure that it really represents us.
Mr. Benzel.
I guess I'm curious what the project team does then.
Excuse me?
What would the project team do? Do we do away with appointing
well,
a project team?
Well, yeah, you're doing away with the project team.
Yeah, so they're gone and we're just
Mr.
doing this
Alex.
Yeah, that's the issue that I have. I mean, I think it's I also have a concern. I think it's been raised by a number of members of the public. I think it's a legitimate argument that there is, you know, by essentially saying we're going to the concern is the unspoken concern is obviously if we get three people on the short list who are, you know, all are in one mind in terms of how the project is supposed to proceed, that we're not going to, the public isn't going to be in a position to choose a firm that might have an approach that we consider, you know, more appropriate or more enlightened. My initial reaction was, well, can we interview all the firms as a county board? And it's obviously that can't happen just logistically. If 20 people respond, you know, we'd be in here for 20 hours. I actually think that it's a reasonable approach to give the opportunity for board members to review the submissions and have input into who makes the short list. The only concern I have, I think it needs to be fleshed out a little more, because this is a multi-jurisdictional issue. I mean, the reason this has been such a painful process, putting this RFP together, is that's on the one hand an RFP to get an expert in here to help us find out what our options are, but on the other hand, we're trying to also make it a consensus document. Everybody wants to make sure that it nails down how they want the process to work, and that we're binding us and the sheriff and the other parties that are involved in this process to doing kind of what we all think the other guy ought to be doing. I'm open to supporting the motion if we can explain how it would work in a way that doesn't deprive the sheriff and the other parties that have to have input into this as well, input into the process. I mean, what I'm saying is I don't think the county board could be the one who is the only decision maker, but I would like to see the county board be a participant in the scoring. I agree with that.
Astrid, speak to your motion.
I think that the county board should be the decision maker. This is our project, our money. We're going to ask the people to pay for it. The company we choose will certainly go to the sheriff for his input, but it's our responsibility, and it's up to us to see that we choose the right company, that it represents what we consider our needs, because different people have very different ideas of what our needs are.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairman Batson.
Maxwell.
You know, we might want to consider, and I know we don't want to spend a lot of money hiring more people, we might consider hiring an expert to help us in the selection process, a neutral, somebody that's not going to participate in the study at all, but somebody that has expertise that could assist us in the selection process.
Carol, or me? Okay. Oh, thank you, sir. In some ways, I understand what Ms. Berkson is saying, but then I also hear what Mr. Alex is saying, and I think, yes, the county board is responsible, but you also have to have the input of the people that are working in those facilities and are going to be responsible for those type of things that we're trying to put into place. So I do think that it's important to retain, you know, part or all of this project planning team, because they are the ones that deal with it day in, day out, and they probably know a little more of how things would function, maybe a little better than we would in some cases. So I don't want to completely eliminate them from the process.
Carol?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As I understand it,
Carol, then you're out.
We can't see there. One of my initial changes that I really wanted to make early on was to include the Justice and Social Services planning team in that process. That adds a little bit of dynamic for review process, because they're not going to select and they're certainly not going to negotiate in contract, but that group could assist in this process of the review. But I don't disagree with Ms. Astrid that this is the most important part of this whole RFP process, and we've been here before that we didn't get to see all of the possible participants, and then later we wish we had. And so I think this is where we get to change that right now, and it is the responsibility of the county board. And I just want to add just one last little comment that in the selection process, it almost the planning team, I think, did a generally good job putting the RFP together, listening to the public comments, because we can see them reflected here in the RFP. But I think that there's a little bit of a
slight, not legal conflict, but I don't have another word at this point to describe what I'm about to say, which is almost the next step, so to speak, really needs to be another body to do the next step in the process. So the people who wrote the RFP and have their own personal desires involved in that RFP process should certainly not be the same people reviewing the selected people who respond, and then the same people who negotiate, and then the same. So it closes the whole process down to a very small group of people, even though the county board gets involved at the kind of end of the process. I think that's the concern here.
Patsy. Then
well,
Ralph.
I was going to offer a compromise, and that is these things. It could be really an interesting dynamic that we have three groups that do the scoring of this, and we can do it in sort of a rotation so you don't have to produce 100,000 documents. But there is the project team, and they have a certain focus. We've set up the task force on social justice, and then we have our own county board, and each of these will bring interesting dynamics on how they judge however many get submitted to us, and why not let us all score and look at what comes up of it. And if you rotate it, I can see Miss Busey just dying there because she's thinking of how many packets would have to be made. But if we rotate it, first A gets a set of the packets and they pass them to B and so forth.
Mr. Langenheim.
Finally, let's get to the logistics of this. As we did with the nursing home and the other buildings that we've put up in the last decade or so, we had a set of firms that presented their arguments, and in some cases we had more than one meeting. So we saw a pre-selected group. Now, wouldn't it be perhaps possible to take the other submissions which were rejected by that pre-selecting group and make them available to any county board member who wished to look through them, and make arrangement that if a county board member decided that one of those should be presented to the group as a whole, then it would be presented to the group as a whole? I think that might cover some of this concern about narrowing the choice without burdening us with an awful lot of submissions. Now, of course, we may not get more than two or three or four submissions, in which case we might as well see them all.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Yes, I was going to say something else, but I kind of like Ralph's idea. My alternate suggestion, which is not quite as extreme in the number of people involved as Patsy's, but does address some concern of Astrid's, would be to have a few, maybe four, county board members assigned to participate in the scoring process, which I think we've done similar things in the past, and they'd be part of the team in that effort. They would be the people who are hopefully the most interested and the most motivated to do the best job at it, as far as looking at the details. Although, again, Ralph's idea has merit as well.
I would point out there's already two county board members on that committee, or that, whatever we want to call it, as well as a lot of the folks who I would call stakeholders in the system who have a great deal of expertise. We have successfully built a jail before. We have successfully built a courthouse, a youth detention facility, and a nursing home, all of which have their faults, but we used a system in which we did not have every single person was interested in building the project or in designing the project or in assessing the project submit everything to the county board, and the county board review each and every one of those documents. This county board has traditionally operated on some form of a smaller committee system to review things that come before the board. It has been successful. Nothing precludes the county board from rejecting what the committee does. But I think where we're headed headed in this motion toward an extremely cumbersome process that I'm very hesitant to suggest that we should go further with, but it's on the floor. Mr. Alex.
I guess what it comes down to for me is I don't think that the county board as a whole is going to... responsibilities that the project planning team is going to give. I mean, there's only one person in this room who's running jail, and it's not a county board member, it's a sheriff. But of the people on that team, I mean, the reason this team was constituted wasn't to take away or to give up the power of the county board. It was to recognize that there are a lot of stakeholders in this and that they all have important things to say. That being said, I think what we're trying to avoid, the risk that we're trying to avoid here is that that team, for whatever reason, picks a short list that excludes one or more respondents that the county board feels should... shortlist by virtue of having a different approach, by virtue of, you know, some dispute that we have with the team. Along those lines, I think Mr. Langenheim's suggestion is good, in that there be a mechanism by which a county board member or a group of or some number of county board members can say, we want to add this group to the shortlist. I'm wondering if anything like that has been done.
Sure. You could make an amendment to that motion saying that all county board members, of course, get to look at the documents, which they do anyway because they're all fairly open, and that any two county board members with a motion and a second can bring that entity before the board.
I have an inquiry.
You could do that.
I have a question. Do the proceedings of this selection committee come under the Open Meetings Act?
No.
They don't on any contractual matter. It is not a question of problem. They don't. If this were a committee of the board, it would, but it is not a committee of the board. Mr. Kibler, you've been patient.
I'd like to make an alternative recommendation. There's like 10 out there right now, but there's already groups that have come to us and asked, we'd like to have a little bit more participation. Some of us would want more participation. Why can't we simply, and I would, I don't know if I'll fully motion it yet, but take the proposals that we get, put them online, let anybody download them, play with them, do whatever they want with them, come bring it to public participation if they feel they want to come and bring something to the county board. And any county board member can go and download it and look at it online. Saves us time, saves Mrs. Busey a lot of money in terms of paper costs. I think it's just a very easy and simple solution. Can it be done legally? That's the first question.
That's
and two.
The question I have. Mr. James, Mr. J.
I'm hearing all this, and we've had this process for some time, and now it's almost like we're going to restructure how we do things. Instead, we're going from one item to another, and the county board wants to get more involved. And I agree with Alex and some of them. We have people that do this for a living. I trust those folks. They're in office. They've done the right thing. We're going to have our input. I look at logistically, how are we going to meet with these folks? Because let's face it, there's a few in here that don't show up all the time anyway. We really need to be fair about it, stay with our process within limits. It's a needs assessment. It isn't like by the time I'm hearing all these comments about hiring an outside expert or another panel of people, we're going to have $20 million spent before we even put up a building. That's politics at its best. So let's not just keep beating everything up. The process has its merits, and we're tweaking the document, but now we want to tweak the whole process, and I think we're just going down the wrong path totally.
Mr. J.
I concur with Mr. James, believe it or not, but one of the things we need to keep in mind is that I've been through the process a few times, and it's not as pleasant as you all might think. Actually, it's a lot of work. And there is some confidentiality. Mm-hmm. When we bring those folks in and they make their presentation, nobody else is in this room except, in this case, it'll be the project team. And if somebody wants my place on the project team and thinks that they really want to be part of it, that's on the county board, you can have it. I've been there, I've done it, and it's not that I wouldn't do it again, but I don't think any of you have a clue what you're arguing about here tonight. But anyway, I got off a track. There is some confidentiality because we're going to start with the top team, And we don't want all of the rest of them to know what the second, third, right, and fourth, or however many, have presented us. That's not fair.
No.
So there has to be confidentiality. The project team is by far the best idea and probably the only one that will work efficiently for this project. And I think it is important that we have people that's concerned with the jailing process on the project team.
Ms. Court.
Okay, I've got to agree with Ms. Estra and with Carolyn. Because I remember when I was here when they built the jail over there, and I was here when they built a new jail, a courthouse, and everything. And because of the same thing that Ms. Estra is suggesting happened, where that on the courthouse, we thought that the bell tower and everything was in the specs and everything, and then we found out after we had committed that we didn't have everything that we thought was in there, and it's because the county board didn't have that much input on what was going on with the contracts. And so I'll vote with you when it comes up.
The next person was Ms. Anderson.
Well, I hear the concern, but it just seems kind of unwieldy to have the full board looking at all of those. We have two on that team right now. Mm-hmm. I could see maybe even adding a couple of more. I have not been involved in that screening process before, but the nearest thing to it was when we hired an administrator, which is not the same kind of project, but we had several county board members as well as people who were from the nursing home and from administration. We had, as I remember, 15 or 16, and it was fairly easy to screen out a number of them, because looking at what they had submitted, they did not have the qualifications for doing the job. And so my guess is that in looking at these firms, there will be some who rise to the top by having experience, the numbers that they have done around the country or in similar sizes and like that, and maybe there'll be more than five or six, I'm not sure. But I would think it's more of a screening process to pick out the best to bring then to the full board. We will all have the opportunity then to do the final voting on the choice.
Ms. Bergson, what's your motion?
I think the thing is, we're not just, when you say we should be the best, what do you mean by the best? This is to decide what our needs are. And different people have very different ideas of what our needs are. And I think if you allow a small group to decide what the needs are, that may not be what we think. It's the same as, pardon me, with the stormwater thing, where the committee wanted green. They said they wanted green. We didn't get green. Because what came before us during the climate. I think this whole business of selection, that is, not a big thing. This is a very big thing. Everyone in the county could end up in the jail. We could spend an awful lot of money on a jail. I think everyone is a stakeholder in this. And I think as representatives of the voters, we should make the selection not about the bidding or the architect or anything else, about the needs assessment. That's the whole goal.
This is for consultants.
Ms. Holderfield. Ms. Holderfield has the floor.
I understand everybody's concern, but we're not all experts in this field, and I think that what's important is that we get this written the way that we want. We get the RFP written the way that we want. I think that's probably one of the most important things that we can do, and we do have a task force that is in place, and this is what they do. This is what they work with. I agree with Diane. This is what they work with every single day. We do not know. We will never know. We are not experts in the field. I think we will ultimately make the decision. I believe that we will ultimately make the decision, but it's getting the RFP done correctly the way that we feel is the most beneficial to us as a county. And when we want to start getting into making all of these different selections, you cannot, no one here works in that jail. No one works with the justice system. Not a one of us does. If we do not do that, don't step into an arena that we don't understand. I think we're making a very big misstep. I agree wholeheartedly that we have to make the most prudent decision with the top teams. We will make the ultimate decision, but it's getting the RFP language wordsmith the way that it's most appropriate and most effective.
Thank you. Sure.
Yeah, I just have two things to say, and some of you guys touched on it, and I don't mean this to be offensive, but keep in mind that myself and the sheriffs after me, part of this may result in a new building or a redesigned building, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to have to operate that building, and I can't tell you how important the structure is going to be to our function, everything from medical and mental health. How we lay this out and where we put things and how we approach it is a critical factor for myself, the inmates, and the next sheriffs to come, and me and the next guy or girl are going to have to operate this place. So I would hope you give me a whole lot of input. Even though it's your building, I have to make it work. The other thing, and some of you touched on this, I've been involved in doing some RFPs. This is a tremendous time commitment. If you're going to jump in this, it isn't just reading what they send us. We've also asked them for copies of their last contracts and studies. You're going to have to read and understand it. I've envisioned this team doing the background checks, not just their references. You ask me who's going to give me a good reference, I'll say somebody who likes me. We're going to try to find people that they've been in litigation with or that don't like them. I mean, this is a huge undertaking. I don't see this package, these packages coming in and us deciding this in a day. This is going to take me and my staff putting in a week, 2 weeks, and then checking all the background. So if you want to jump into that, bear in mind, it's a huge undertaking.
I'm going to call on the state's attorney.
I just really feel I need to jump in at this point because the question appears to be who should be on this small committee, and I was asked to serve on this committee and volunteered, as did the presiding judge and all the members of this committee, because we have a significant interest and concern in the facilities that are used in the criminal justice system, because we all want what is best for Champaign County as a whole, and want to be able to provide the most appropriate and best facilities for all of our constituents. There are a number of members on this proposed team, the sheriff, myself, the presiding judge, who are countywide elected officials. With all due respect to all of you as county board members, we are as, if not more, accountable to the voters of this county as to how their tax dollars are spent, as to how decisions are made. And so we have as much, if not sometimes more, of an interest in making sure that the voters and the citizens' interests are taken into account in the decisions that we make. We have no stake, there's no benefit for us in this process other than to make sure that it's done properly. We volunteered. We're happy to put in the time as the sheriff and as Mr. Betts and others have discussed that it's going to take to go through this process. And I just really felt it was necessary to stand up and make that clear because there's been so much discussion about interests and biases and all of that sort of thing. I want to put out on the table what my interest and my bias is and my willingness to put in the time to do this job in addition to all the other jobs that I have. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Mr. You know who hasn't had a chance to talk is Mr. Benzel. Let him talk.
Thank you.
It needs to be silent.
Yeah. I like it that way. I like following that because that's exactly how I feel. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in here. I'm not the smartest guy in any room, any time. I'm usually at the bottom end of that. But I'm smart enough to know when I'm not smart enough to make those decisions. And that's now. I mean, you know, there's nothing probably more glaring or more telling to me about this than the fact that we're talking about potentially major renovations or really more likely tearing down a building that's 30 years old that shouldn't be obsolete already. So I don't want to be looking at this 30 years down the road saying we made the same mistake again. So and to keep from doing that, we need to have the right people doing it. Not to mention the fact I personally am a firm believer in smaller groups. I mean, we're going to beat this thing up for 3 to 3.5 hours to put an RFP together. We're talking about a week-long retreat to go through all of these proposals. If we try to do this as a 27-member board, it would just be absurd. So I absolutely cannot support it. I think that we've got the right people on the team. We've got the right people to do it, and I'm happy to work from their recommendations.
I think everyone has had a chance to speak except Mr. Richards and Mr. Rosales and Mr. Kurtz on this issue. Mr. Rosales.
Well, I appreciate what Julia Reitz just said, but, you know, there is a defined responsibility within each of those public offices. And I think that we as a county board also have a duty and a fiduciary role for the accountability of the facilities. And I think that the committee that was created by our board is an advisory, a consultation committee. And I'm not talking about dissolving that committee at all. I'm talking that it is in place because it has the best interest of all the parties involved, as well as it's a consultative committee to us. As to the selection process, I don't think we're going to get 140 applicants for an RFP. I would imagine that we probably get maybe 10, 15 if most. I don't think that's too impossible to look and review at, but I think that the advice and the recommendations of this team is very important and is crucial. Just as well as the Social Justice Committee consultation is also important in this crucial point. That's why we have a Social Justice Committee. And I think the input of this board is just equally as important. So I see three parallel roads towards the same ending, not just one. The consultative committee, or the team, the county board, and the Social Justice Committee should all have equal aspects or parts in the decision making. And then upon review of all of that, I think then we will reach a consensus and make the best decision for the county, for the safety and health care of the people that work in the building.
Mr. Richards and Mr. Kurtz haven't had a chance to speak, so I'm going to try to give them a chance. Mr. Kurtz.
Well, thank you for me volunteering. There are numerous different aspects of this. I'm hearing so many different opinions on how we go about this portion of the RFP. First, I think we need to get an RFP out tonight. I think we've done an awful lot of discussion. We've done a lot of changes. I think we've satisfied most of the concerns of this board and those who bring this really good discussion, hopefully to an end tonight, so we can issue this RFP. I personally feel that we need the best people who understand this jail situation from a lot of different aspects, from the social justice side, from the social services side, the sheriff, the state's attorney, the court system. We have no authority to tell them how to run these facilities. We have no authority on how the court system places people into this situation. But it's I'm not finished. It comes down to the end that we need all of this input, and then it needs to come to us for a final decision. But I don't see us being able to spend the time. I mean, this is a huge, huge operation of time and effort. I'm willing to put in the time. I have the time. A lot of board members here don't. They have other priorities in their lives, their families, and their jobs. But my personal opinion is that I think we've made some major progress here tonight, and then I think we need to put out the RFP this evening after this final discussion on how we want to finally decide on who makes the final decision for this firm to move forward.
Okay. Anyone who hasn't spoken on this issue? Mr. Richards.
I'm a little bit concerned about having a 27-person free-for-all on this RFP. However, I do appreciate the suggestion that it be opened up to a motion for any of these RFPs to be brought up. And I would like to have us have opened this up beyond the project team and have the jail task force involved with this RFP and looking at these and advising the county board on these. Although I don't think that the 27 of us are going to be useful at coming up with an RFP on this. But I do agree that we could use some second looks on this when this does come back to the county board.
Mr. Esri.
Yes, thank you. I guess I too would have a problem with the whole 27. Just a little bit of a variance, I guess, if the team gives us their preferred short list, but yet we're able, if we want to look at all the different rejected, I guess you'd say, for lack of a better word, proposals, maybe just ask the team to have not 20 for each of them, but maybe a few comments as to why they were rejected, but maybe a few positives too, just that you could look through and just a quick summary of the reasons why maybe they thought this one was okay, but it just wasn't the best. I mean, to just write a few comments down for each one if they rejected them, and that way you could just skim through and see their thought process a little.
And, you know, certainly in that comment that you just made, it's certainly possible for the board to have this committee appear before the board and in executive session, because there are confidentiality concerns. They certainly could say this is what their individual concerns, this is why they ranked the firm or didn't rank the firm. I think we're also under a false assumption that we're going to have 10 or 15 applicants. I think we're going to have, in this economic climate, it is going to be very, very large. Just based on what I saw in Colorado, there are so many of these firms, and they are nationwide. I think we'll have a lot of them, and I think that's to our benefit to have a lot of them out there. Again, anyone else who has not spoken on the issue, because we still have, I believe, quite a few other issues that people want to deal with. We have a motion on the floor if it could be restated.
Yes.
The motion.
I said that the motion in the selection process, the first paragraph, that the words jail project planning team be changed to county board.
That is the statement. I'm going to vote yes, is to make the county board review all of those. There's a motion on the floor.
I'd like to make an amendment to
go ahead and make an amendment.
I would like to ask Ms. Astrid to consider an amendment to that motion to incorporate what Ms. Busey just described, is that all of the, and Mr. Esri, I'm sorry, all of the responding firms that respond, that all of those be made available to the county board in closed session, and that the shortlisted items be provided at that same time. That's the amendment that I'd like considered to the motion.
Point of order, that doesn't fit the intent of the That's replacing the amendment, or replacing
yeah,
the
motion. Yeah, that's a substitution.
Yeah.
Well, that's a substitution motion to, again, have all respondents
available to the county board members, including the short list that were selected. I'd like to make that motion.
That they all appear before you, or the documents?
Sir, the documents. Just what Mr. Esri just said, I'm making it in a motion. All documents be made available to all county board members for review of those documents, and including the shortlisted items when we review those shortlisted items.
I second. Seconded by Mr. Carter. I have a few concerns, but Mr. Quisenberry?
So I'm going to ask a question to make sure I understand.
Motion to substitute.
What it sounds like you're saying, Carol, is that instead of all the county board reviewing all of the proposals, that there be a point in time where the committee comes and the county board gets a chance to review all those proposals and in executive session review the shortlisted proposals and give feedback before that shortlist is finalized.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Is that your intent?
Yes.
Because I actually believe that I would be supportive of that option as an alternative to everybody going through and reviewing everything. It gives an opportunity for people to identify one that may be slipping through the cracks, but it does not necessarily require that everybody get into the process.
I'm going to have Mr. Alex address, and then I'm going to have Deb Busey address her concerns.
The county board has two members on the project planning team, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Are the submissions, at what point do submissions from vendors cease to be confidential to the general public?
If I could just speak to procedures, I'm not sure I'm going to directly answer your question. But procedurally, when we receive all of the responses, we can immediately make available to you a list of all of the respondents, the name of every individual or company who has responded to the RFP. When we go through the process of creating a short list, we will use evaluation criteria. We consolidate the evaluations of all the evaluators, and you will automatically see where one firm scored fewer points in one criteria area than in others, and that information in itself we will share with you. We'll provide you with a great deal of information in addition to background checking, which the Sheriff's Office will provide assistance in doing, which we will also be able to report to you. That's how the process typically works. Procedurally, you heard earlier tonight in the QBS portion demonstration that you had that you can designate a selection committee. I'm just going to say that if you want to substitute a selection committee for the jail project planning team and you decide who's on the selection committee, that's another alternative you could potentially do. I honestly believe you could get 20, 25 responses to this RFP. It takes at least 2 hours to give full due diligent review of an RFP. Do I think it's feasible that 27 county board members are going to spend somewhere between 30 and 50 hours reviewing and evaluating RFP responses? It's never been done before, I can tell you that. In terms of publishing the RFPs, these are private business entities, and they're going to be telling us things about how they propose how they're going to do this work for us, and they're not going to want it published because that's giving away their own, you know, operational strategies.
That's my question. In the past, now this, when this similar process has been done, at what point does what become public? I mean, are the shortlisted submissions considered?
The shortlisted presentations, you know what?
They're actually done in public generally.
Well, no, because we don't allow others to be in attendance. For example, you don't allow the first firm to sit in on the second firm's presentation.
So they're done in closed session too.
I don't know if it's closed session or if we just exclude the other firms from being in attendance. They're not closed session because there's.
Here's my comment. Shut up. I agree. Would be impossible to have 27 people in a room trying to do the dozens of hours of work per submission that it's going to take to vet these proposals. County Board members on the project planning team. I think the concern that members of the public have and that members of the County Board have is these decisions are being made essentially out of the view of anybody other than these two County Board members. Would it be appropriate for County Board members, if they so chose, to be allowed to inspect the submissions prior to the time that the task that the project team scores it, so that the county board members who are concerned about this can go to one of the county board members who is on the committee and say, you need to consider this, or you need to look at these guys, or we have concerns about that. Is that done?
I think all members of the county board could have access to any responses if they requested it.
Okay. We've done it in the past.
Thank you.
On the motion itself, please. Patsy.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, if I could, I would withdraw that motion at this time because I understand what Mr. Alex just said. I would draw that motion if the seconder would withdraw it.
Who was the seconder? Patsy, so you've withdrawn. So we're now back to... We're back to Patsy's motion.
Astrid,
excuse me. Speak to Astrid's motion. And I think everyone actually has had a chance to speak to that motion, sometimes two or three times. We're going to break a record tonight for the last 6 months. That's okay. Patsy.
Thank you.
Let me offer a compromise to Astra's motion, and that is to integrate these different entities that everybody would like to get integrated into this process and giving due respect to the project team that has been established. Why not randomly pick several additional county board members to add to the group that's going to review them? Randomly pick from the task force that will be established under Mr. Richards to add that to the task force. So maybe that makes, 10 or 11 people if we add a couple to that. And then to take Mr. Keebler's suggestion, these applications could be put up on the website.
No.
Wait.
No.
Can I finish?
No.
Can I finish? They can be put up on the website where it's a confidential way for us to look at them.
We will make them available to county board members if that is the intent, but I don't think we can put... We would have to say in this RFP, we're going to put your response on the website. I just don't think that that's a reasonable thing to do. But we can make them available to board members electronically or however you want to have them.
Well, anyway, I was trying to cut down on the paper. We do that at the university all the time, put them up and put them so you can't get in without a secure code. But anyway, this would maybe solve and bring entities into this process that we've been wanting to accomplish and yet still have a main focus on the project team that has been chosen. And I'm having trouble appreciate the factor of the argument that we need experts. What we are choosing here are consultants who have high skill level and being able to analyze and do needs assessment. We can read their qualifications and make that judgment. That is the key here of what we're choosing. And so other people outside of running the jail have those kind of skills to choose consultants to do that.
Mr. Binzel.
I'd like to call the question, please.
I recognize the call, and I recognize the second. The question is all those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. The question is called. Now we're going to have a roll call on the question. Those voting yes, support to... yes. The question that you're voting on right now is that... And I'll have the clerk reread it once again. Read it loud enough so that... I know.
The motion was to change the words jail project planning team in the first sentence of the selection process to county board members.
Second sentence. A yes vote has the county board replacing the jail.
Okay.
A yes vote has the full 27 members of the county board replacing the jail project team for purposes of submission of the proposals and evaluation. Call the roll.
Cowart?
Yes.
Besry?
No.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
No.
Kurtz?
No.
Langenheim?
No.
I'm absent.
Abstention is not allowed under the rules.
Answer.
Did you say mine?
No.
What is wrong with you?
No.
Maxwell?
No.
Michaels?
No.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
No.
Quisenberry? Richards?
No.
Salas?
Yes.
Schrader? Weibold?
Yes.
Hammonds?
Yes.
Anderson?
No.
No.
Ferguson?
Yes.
Yes.
Bess?
No. Motion fails. Do you have more substantive motions, Astrid? Okay. Carol did hers. Does anyone else have a substantive motion?
I do. I'd like to make a motion, actually.
But I think Mr. Alex actually was the next line. I'll come back to you. Yeah, he did have, I think he had a motion.
I would like to move that in Section 7, Communication Reports and Presentations, after the sentence, after submission, this has been page 13, the sentence reads, after submission of the final report, the county board will contact the consultant to establish a time when a summary presentation will be made to the board in open session. After that, I would like to add, the final report and supporting documentation shall be made available in electronic form via the county website.
Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Ms. Ammons. Discussion on that motion. Did you see any legal impediment?
I don't. I'm just not sure where he is.
Put the report up on the website after we get the final report.
I really don't,
Chris.
Where are you?
Could you help us a little bit? You're talking about
The last paragraph. After submission of the final report, the county board will contact the consultant to establish a time when a summary presentation will be made to the board in open session. I want to add, the final report and supporting documents shall be made available in electronic form via the county website.
What page?
Sorry. 13.
Section 8.
Section 8. I can't read my Roman numerals. Section 8.
Roman numerals. Section 8.
Shall be made available in electronic form to be placed on the county website?
Yeah, either way.
It's an inherently public document.
I think so, yeah. There's no issue.
Is there unanimous consent on that,
yes,
that matter?
Yes.
Seeing no objection, it is adopted. Do you have other motions?
No, sir.
Anyone that hasn't had a motion yet? Mr. Kibler.
Sorry, all my aunts were rhetoric or English teachers. So with respect to introduction, it's just really bothering me. Sorry. Second paragraph, it says, while not intended, yada, 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 we get to the period. It should be a colon, because you're listing out items at that point. The otherwise is just a list of three items that's not in a sentence. So I would like to just change that period to a colon.
Hearing unanimous consent. Yes. Unanimous consent. It's a colon. Other errata? Mr. Kibler? Any other change?
Not yet.
Okay. Don't say yet. Going once. Ms. Holderfield, you have a substantive motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the RFP.
Second.
Point of order?
That's already on the floor.
I call a question.
I haven't recognized the call of the question. Carol.
Thank you. I know people want to go home, as I do, but I have to go back. The failing of the motion from Ms. Astrid is making me make this second motion. I am going to move the selection process again to include members from the Justice and Social Services team on the review process of the applicants that respond. That is my motion. I so move.
Mr. You may speak to the motion.
Thank you, sir. I am suggesting for a couple of reasons that are really in the scope of this RFP. In scope item number one, two, let's see, four, these items are dealing with larger institutional issues that are not just facilities. And on the Justice and Social Services Committee, which is why that came to be in the first place, was to include expertise in the social services arena, i.e. the mental health professional, community elements applied to be on that committee, including Professor Brenham, who does this for a living through the University of Illinois and has a lot of research in this area. To not include people from the Justice and Social Service Planning Team makes me to believe that we created that as a diversion to this team. And I'm saying that this selection process must include other than the stakeholders that are inside of the criminal justice system.
Mr. James. Yes.
Well, I disagree with that because they're an advisory committee to this board. They are not a voting membership that's going to tell us how we should or should not proceed with this needs assessment. They can sit there and be talked to just like the sheriff, the state's attorney, and everybody else, but they're not going to have any say-so in how we decide we want to proceed with this. And Carol, I again will say that's fine, and those folks may bring something to the table, but just like you and I, we're not involved in this every day. We base our feelings on the rhetoric we hear and what we want to promote. Let the people who are doing their job do their job.
Mr. Richards.
I'm in favor of what Carol said. I think it spoke to what I said earlier. My questions for Ms. Ammons would be how many members and who would put them on there.
Well, certainly in line with the process that we've seen so far, the planning team is just a team that was put together by Mr. Best, Ms. Busey, whomever, who decided who was going to be on that team in the first place. And so I just suggest that that group, including yourself, get together, look at your the people who have volunteered, who have background in the area of criminal justice on that team that you have, and select a couple of members from there to be included on this review process. I'm not asking for 15 members because we don't have 15 members to select, but this really raised a real red flag for me. If we have no selection process outside of the same people who wrote the RFP, who suggest we need the new jail, I think it's pretty clear where this is going.
Mr. Alex.
I like the idea of adding to the perspectives, but I don't see how we could do it legally. I mean, I don't, because of the confidentiality of the responses, I don't think we can put somebody who's not a county employee or an elected representative on the committee. I mean,
that should be some law.
Well, that's what I'm asking for. I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is confidential means we probably can't have members of the public looking at that.
Order, please. I'm not the county's attorney, so I'm not going to say one word about it. Mr. Richards.
I guess I have no idea how this body's going to vote on this, but I guess I would add three amendments. One, that there would be two members of the committee put on there. Two, that they would be appointed by the county board chairman. And three, that the members of this committee, which has not been picked, by the way, that were put on there, must sign a confidentiality agreement.
You have the ability to establish a selection committee, which means you could appoint someone else.
So we can appoint people who aren't elected officials or county employees to a selection committee?
Yes, you can.
Has it ever happened?
I know that. I mean, when Mr. Maxwell spoke about an expert as yeah, and I think you can appoint members of the public to a selection committee if that is your desire.
This isn't a conspiracy, Patsy. I'm trying to make sure we follow the law and have a confidentiality submission. Sorry.
I think this proves why having meetings that run till 11 o'clock, we all become very exhausted and we start complaining about one another, and we're not entirely productive under these circumstances. Ms. Astrid,
for Mr. Richards' amendment,
there was not.
I will second it.
Okay. Ms. Berkson, speaking to the amendment that's on the floor.
I have been surprised by how many decisions binding on the board are made by people who are not on the board, and this committee is another one of them. And I think that the board should have more representation on the committee, even be a majority of the committee, because
point of order,
the board is
discussing an amendment.
Again, we will discuss the amendment on the floor, which is by Mr. Richards. Diane.
Just kind of a question, if you will, or whatever. First off, I'm really not in favor of changing that up much. However, you have a committee that I don't believe has been picked yet. That also could delay this even longer, and I would think that that needs to be taken into consideration with people's votes.
Mr. Carter, speaking on the amendment on the floor.
You know, I would appreciate it if we're going to go by room as a kind of board member just mentioned. Why is it that some people speak 20 times, some of them don't even get 3 times to speak? We sat up here, we showed disrespect all over the thing by the law. That's what's wrong. We don't follow the law. I've been here, I was here before the board of this bill, the new jailhouse, the new courthouse. I've never heard anybody say that they had members on this county board that didn't know how to do their job. Only time things went bad when you went outside of this board, around the point committee, and did these little deeds and cut back away. That's when you went wrong. When you followed the law, everything went smooth in this kind of board. And your taxpayers don't say, the state's attorney, or the sheriff, the county board is who they look for to do right. They can do all the wrong they want to, but you know who takes the blame? The county board. The county board is the responsible body of this county. And why people sit up here going to make like that somebody, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, and we need to quit. If we're going to go by the rules, go by the rules. Because we were all elected officials to come up here and take care out of district business. But then we wouldn't have been here. Mine sent me up here to be 20 years. If I'd make it through this year. And I don't think those people with that bad a mistake, then I wouldn't have been here. So it's not you don't have people here that have the knowledge, you don't utilize it. That's the problem. Thank you.
That being said, let me gently point out once again that we have had successful, very successful, award-winning projects in this county using this process. We are not deviating from the normal process. The NIC, which is you authorized to send us out to Colorado, this is their process. This is what they have recommended. It is consistently the recommended process throughout the country for counties to build jails in this fashion. It is the process. You don't have to follow the process. I don't find it personally objectionable to have two people from this outside committee on there per se, but I don't know who they are, and that causes me to have great concern given some of the silliness I've heard said by some folks in the community, but I trust that the chair would be careful in the selection. We are fighting over something that is not going to determine the outcome of whether we build a jail or not. We are right now fighting over who is going to review the RFQ,
P.
the first time out, and then come to the board. The board's going to see it on the website, going to see it in here, you're going to review it. All of us who have been here a while have gone through this process a number of times and hours on end reviewing it. And it's not a closed process. Because you don't get the result that you want does not mean it's a closed process. It means the majority ruled. I may lose on this issue tonight. It doesn't mean that the process is bad. It just means it was long. Mr. Weibel.
Concerning Mr. Richards' motion, one problem I have is that when we posted the announcement for the task force, the Citizens Task Force, whatever, I forgot what we call it now, we said nothing about them being on the team making a decision like that. So that's all of a sudden we got a new assignment, and I have no idea if any of them are interested or all of them are interested or who's interested and who's not. So that'd be a problem right there. And I'm not sure how to handle that, but that is an issue that we're basically, we advertise to do something, if this goes through, we're asked to do something else. And something that's also more in the public arena, too.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this?
What's the vote?
Mr. O'Connor. You're a patient man.
Thank you, Tom. I just think we need to congratulate ourselves. We certainly know we're good at deferring issues, and we're quite masterful at delaying meetings. We just proved that.
Now, I am a stubborn chair, and I want this something to happen tonight so that we are not deferring this entire matter again and again and again. That's why we're working tonight until it's done or until someone demands an adjournment. The question, the issue on the floor, if Mr. Richards could restate his motion.
So it's one amendment to Carol's motion to narrowing down what she was saying and adding that there be two members of this advisory commission appointed to this project planning board by the county board chair, and that as part of this, they, when they're reviewing these, there be a confidentiality agreement involved. That's the motion.
Esri?
No.
Olderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
No.
Hertz?
Yes.
Langenheim?
No.
Maxwell?
No.
Michael?
No.
Reporter?
No.
Petrie?
Yes.
Prisenberg?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales? Weibel?
Yeah, you look.
No.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bensel?
No.
Bergson?
Yes.
Carter?
No.
Betts?
No. If motion fails, we're back to the main motion. If the clerk could restate the main motion. Sorry. It was Ammon's last motion. Carol, could you restate your motion?
The motion was to add members from the Justice and Social Services Committee to the project planning team for review of the selection process.
Again, because we just voted on one where it was two, and this is an abstraction of just members, do we need to have a full discussion on this again?
I just have a clarification from Chair
Weibel. You mentioned that you found it problematic that it wasn't in the description of the roles for these people who are applying for this task force. I mean, is that so prohibitive that it can't be asked as you interview them?
Well, I could. I think it's just not being honest about what you're asking these people to do. That's, to me, it's just a matter of you ask them to do this, and we're adding something onto it. That's, to me, it's not fair. It's like hiring a sheriff to do a job and saying, oh, you're doing this also. You know, it's not. We should give them a full job description right away, so to speak.
I just need to know, are you talking about how many? Are you giving us a number? Or are you saying
we already
five,
voted
six,
on the
seven?
Number.
How many?
We tried to give a number, but in this case, well, I'm not giving a number. I'm suggesting that the project planning team who also designed the RFP should not be the same persons only or solely reviewing in the selection process. I was trying to add people to that process.
I participated tonight. I think everyone understands the motion, I hope. Clerk, call the roll.
Cowart?
Yes.
Gasry?
No.
Calderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kibler?
No.
Kurtz?
No.
Langenheim?
No.
Mac?
No.
Michaels?
No.
O'Connor?
No.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
No.
Richards?
Yes.
LaSalle? White? Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
No.
Benchel?
No.
Ferguson?
Yes.
Carter?
No, motion fails. Any other substantive motions before we go to the main motion that's on the floor? Ms. Evans.
Yes, I'd like to make another motion to add one additional county board member to the project planning team from one of the districts, the minority districts of color.
That's no motion. Second.
I think that's technically out of order.
But you just did that. You just voted on another motion.
Chair?
Yes.
I find that offensive because I feel like any county board member in here would bring something to the table, and I do. Every time I hear the racial or the color
on this committee,
we're all here to represent, as Al Kurt says, and everybody else. Yes, we are.
I represent a minority district. There's no people of color.
But anyway, Chair, I just feel that's offensive. I think it's uncalled for. I think that's where we're starting to split hairs here. That should not even come up in a discussion such as this. I will.
The motion is point of order.
Your point?
Wow. Does this duplicate the motion that the
Democrats
No.
I'm green.
The motion on the floor, and it was made by Carolyn, I didn't catch who seconded it, seconded by Ms. Petrie, to appoint a member to this committee from a minority district. We actually do not have a district where there is a majority-minority in Champaign County, so we will call it a minority-influence district. I'm being technical because there is not
the one.
Is it District 5?
That is the motion on the floor. Speak to the motion that's on the floor. Ms. Bergson.
All the people on the committee now are from the other side, the jail keepers. And half the jail is by people of color. I think there ought to be somebody of color on the committee.
Other discussion on the merits of the motion. Mr. Kurtz.
I'm just curious. Carol, are you volunteering for this?
I would be happy to volunteer.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Richards.
I'm with Astrid. I don't know specifically about this motion, but we do have a committee that is at this point without any persons of color. I don't know that it should necessarily be a county board member of color, but maybe we should think about a way to get somebody on there who is of color from the who is not a prosecutor slash sheriff, something like that. Somebody from the like Astrid said, somebody from the other side. At least one person to improve the debate.
Discussion on the merits of the motion. Madam State's Attorney.
I'm sorry. I have to reiterate. I have heard now I'm on the other side. Now I'm a jail keeper. I am the State's Attorney of Champaign County. I am a Democrat. I am a woman. I am concerned.
Point of order. Point of order, Mr. Chair.
I haven't recognized the
point of order. Has to be recognized
according to
Robert
Rules. It does not have to be
going
to proceed.
I am concerned about the best
interest. I'm raising a point of order.
County as a whole, about the facilities that we provide to our community as a whole, to our citizens, to those who are in our county jails, to our employees. I agree with those who have said I find this whole discussion offensive. Those of us who have volunteered to serve on this committee, to be part of this process, have the best interests of the county and the system as a whole at heart. Absolutely willing to hear from everybody who has an interest and wants to say something. But I do not think there needs to be a token person of color on the committee in order for us to be able to do
this.
Excuse me, this is a meeting. We talk when you're called on. The audience does not participate. The next time I have an outburst, I'm going to ask the county sheriff to clear the room. It is not acceptable. It is just not acceptable. I know it's a late hour. We have gone through a long and difficult process tonight and have been pretty patient. Where 27 people are participating in a drafting of a document which I've never seen in the history of Champaign County in my entire decades of being here. So it has not been a closed process. Carol has had the floor and I've respected everything that she has said, and everyone else has received respect. Didn't always win, but 90% of what you proposed tonight, Carol, you did win. And other folks did as well. We can conduct ourselves with respect, without yelling at each other, without being mean. We are all neighbors in the end, okay? Now, we have a proper motion on the floor. It is a perfectly proper motion to be discussed. Mr. J.
I'd like to call the question.
All further discussion, all those who wish to call the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. There'll be a roll call vote on the main on the motion, which is to appoint a member from... Yes.
Is it possible for this board to appoint ourselves to...
No, it's only on this committee, it's only possible...
Without balanced representation...
This board can't actually make the appointment to this committee.
I notice that everything we do, we put a Democratic County board member on there.
Point of order, Chair. I thought once the question was called, it's called.
It is. He's right.
I'm just trying to be advised that what we're doing is actually...
In compliance with county board rules.
In compliance with rules and with state rules.
Is it a point of order, Mr.
Point of order. The rules on the county board says that when you appoint people, you strive for gender and racial balance. And in certain cases, there are rules where you want certain party balances too. It does vary, but there's no rule saying it has to be that way. The rules have to be strive for that.
Okay, we're to the main motion, which is to appoint a member of the Minority Influence District to this
project planning team.
I'm going to ask that the clerk call the roll.
Coward?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Holderfield?
No.
James?
No.
Jay?
No.
Gibbler?
No.
Kurtz? Maxwell?
No.
Michaels?
No.
O'Connor?
No.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Yes.
Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
No.
Ferguson?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Betts?
Not at that.
Ms. Betts?
Yes. Motion carries. Now, we are to the main motion, which is...
We have
excuse me, still got the chronology. Yes. We'll never get there. We still have the chronology. Do we have a uniform motion on the chronology, given everything we've done? Where are we at on the chronology?
Well, go back to what we last talked about.
Which would be...
Released on March 23rd, responses due May 25th, shortlisted firms announced June 18th, interviews with the county board June 26th, firm selection June 27th, contract negotiation June 27th through July 10th, county board of contract July 26th.
That is the basis of the motion, Carol?
Yes, that's right.
Is there, and there was a second to that motion. Discussion on the chronology motion. Dr. Alex.
Can you speak to why March 23rd if we were to approve it tonight?
Carol? What? His question is why wait to the 23rd if we're going to approve the RFP tonight?
Oh, you know what? Actually, we can adjust back to the change schedule in the green packet. I'm fine with releasing.
So what was green
correct
tonight?
We can substitute that. It's fine.
So you withdraw your motion?
Yes, I can withdraw the change motion.
With regard to everything or just with regard to the release date?
With regard to the whole process and just start with the one that's in the packet.
I apologize if I belaboring this.
No, that's all right.
What about the issue of moving the county board interviews to a study session as opposed to a full?
And so do you want to extend the time frame to allow more time?
I'm just asking what you're proposing to do.
Yes.
So can we release the RFP and leave all the other dates as Carol had previously recommended, which just gives a longer time for vendors to respond?
Hearing
again, a question of information.
We seem to be in agreement on the document stating this part. Is it important that we get a chance to read the document and I don't mean for change, just to read it as a final document before we make our final vote?
The final vote is tonight.
The final vote is tonight. I mean, we can, whatever you
want. Can you put it in the board packet's information?
It will have already been released by then.
Well, point of order, it would still require a motion to defer.
Excuse me?
Point of order, it would still require a motion to defer. It's the county board's to take action on it.
That's correct. You know, you can have it sent to you by email, and if it does not reflect what we have corrected discussed tonight, for heaven's sakes, the administrator corrected who will be drafting it is accountable to you as a county board if what the motions that we've made are all part of the public record. If it doesn't reflect that...
And we said release it March 9th, which is Friday. We will get the changes done tomorrow, and we'll email it to all county board members by the end of the day tomorrow. So if you catch a mistake, you still have time before we release it to let us know.
Do we agree on the chronology at this point, at least?
Yes.
I have unanimous consent to the chronology. We're now back to the main motion to approve the RFP. Yes, Mr.
I'd like to call the question, please.
Okay. All those in favor of calling that question, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. Call the roll on the RFP. Yes means we send it out. No means we stay here some more. Call the roll.
Fowler.
Yes.
Esri.
Yes.
Holderfield.
Yes.
Jane.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Gibbler.
Yep.
Gertz.
Absolutely, yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
Maxwell.
Yes.
Miles. O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
Yes.
Quisenberry.
Yes.
Richards.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Ammons?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bentall?
No.
Burson?
Yes.
Garter?
Yes.
Best?
Yes. Motion carries. Under other business, I think they've more than covered all sorts of things. Designation of items to be placed in consent agenda. I really don't think there are any that have to go to full board. Ms. Ammons.
Policy personnel.
Come on up.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask the board if we could move our agenda to next week's meeting, if that's okay.
I would rather actually do these appointments, get them out of the way. So
you want to do the appointments?
Yeah.
Chair overrules, guys. We got to do it. Okay, let me see if I can find my packet now.
Get to that.
Policy, personnel, and appointment. Board members, we're going to move this quickly. Appointment. A1 Lincoln Legacy Committee, one term ending 2/28/15. Mr. Weibel.
I nominate Mr. Raymond Cunningham.
Second.
It's been nominated and seconded by Mr. Esri. Any discussion on this nominee? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. Item 2, A2 CU Mass Transit District, one term ending 12/31/2016.
I nominate Jermaine Raymer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Langenheim. Any discussion on the nomination, Mr. Weibel?
Point out the Republican from Champaign, and he's actually almost a daily user of the MTD.
Oh, that's nice. Any other discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Thank you. For your information only, is B1, so unless there's questions for Ms. Busey, I'll go to C1. Other business resolution establishing Champaign County Local Food Policy Council. Ms. Petrie.
As I move that the resolution be accepted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Richards. Thank you. Discussion on the Local Food Policy Council resolution.
Question.
Mr. Quisenberry.
Madam Chair, my understanding was that we were going to get some feedback from the extension on how this might or might not replicate things that they already do.
I think there were responses from the extension
okay.
sent to us. Ms. Petrie, can you respond to that?
There's a memo from me.
I think
on
so,
your
in there.
Table. They're giving all the additional information of my conversations with Extension. Extension is in full support of a council being established. They don't see this as their role. They see their role as education, which they do extremely well. I've spoken to several people within Extension about this. I've also talked to Todd Rust, who is, well, he's on the university campus, but he's associated with DCEO, and it's so late I won't read his statement that he sent electronically to me, but he's in full support. And I heard from Paul Faraci today that the director of DCEO is preparing a supportive letter to send to the county in relationship to the establishment of this council. So we have a great deal of support for us to move forward on doing this. And then the National Association of Counties and the Green Government Initiative, one of the things that they focus on is local foods. And the last thing I will mention is I was at the 6th County Economic Development meeting last week, and it was mentioned during that meeting that an analysis has been done on food distribution in our area of of the state, and actually Champaign is the hub for that. So there's so many variables that are coming together for us to be looking at local foods and the intersection of that with economic development.
Madam Chairman, if I could follow up to my question. I will support this. I believe that there is more demand in Champaign County for local food than there is currently ability to serve it. Efforts like the Sola Gratia Farm are examples of that, so I will support it.
Thank you. Mr. Weibel?
I'd like to make a small amendment to the resolution. To be pasted on page 83, on the paragraph before the now, therefore it be resolved. So the paragraph above that. And in addition, the council will review available options where the council could/should be centered or housed and evaluate each option in terms of relationships to the local food market, financial backing, and member appointment process. Want me to read it again?
Yeah, where?
She has a. In addition, the council will review available options.
Where, please?
The last whereas?
The last whereas, at the end of the last whereas.
Thank you.
In addition, the council will review available options where the council could/should be centered or housed and evaluate each option in terms of relationships to the local food market, financial backing, and member appointment process.
Would that be an additional whereas?
It could be. I don't care. That doesn't matter.
What does that do? Second. What does it do?
Well, some of the concerns about whether or not the county board is the correct proper house for this, and this basically says explore that option, particularly in concerns of financial backing. Maybe you find somewhere else that has some money to pump money into it. It doesn't look like we're going to be doing that.
Any other, Mr. Esri?
Thank you. I guess that's just my whole question as to why still we as a county board. I agree that local food is, heck yeah, I like tomatoes grown here. I like fresh green beans, sweet corn, you name it. Who doesn't? But why we as a county board have to be the initiative of this? There's so many other groups out there. They can get it going themselves, co-ops, whatever. So.
Ms. Petrie, were you speaking to this? Mr. Weibel?
Call the question on my amendment.
Yes, sir. Please. The amendment that Mr. Weibel made, we need to vote on that one. The additional whereas that he just added to that. I guess I can do it by show of hands. All in favor of the addition whereas, please raise your hand.
Two.
Okay, so it's a majority. Thank you. Back to the main motion of the resolution itself. Any other discussion on the resolution, please? Mr. Alex.
I think it's appropriate that the county board be involved in this. I mean, somebody, if somebody's going to take the lead, it doesn't cost us anything. It's an opportunity to get some people together that may catalyze some additional economic development, and I see no downside, and I'm going to support it.
Thank you. Clerk, if you could call the roll on this one so we can have a clear vote, yes or no, on it.
Howard?
Yes.
Esri?
No.
Alderfield? Day?
Leapin? No.
Shay?
No.
Kibler?
No.
Kurtz? Langenheim?
Yes.
Maxwell?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Not today.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosella.
She just called you one.
Yes.
Alex.
Yes.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Bensel.
No.
Bergson. Betts.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Motion carries. Item C2, consideration of position in opposition to HB 5252.
What's that about, Carol?
You got me on that.
The state is basically saying that the rental house, the portion of the rental housing support fee which the county currently keeps would not be kept by the county anymore, and the impact on the general corporate fund is somewhere between $23,000 and $30,000 a year, depending on the year.
I so move.
How do we come about
that? Second.
Thank you. How do we come about that fee? How do we collect it? I mean, where do we collect it off of?
Off of recording fees. It's a recording fee that the recorder's office collects.
That explains it. Thank you, Carol.
Mr. Richards.
I asked for this to be put on our agenda because our representation in Springfield was asking if we had a stance on this. And this is a cash grab by Springfield, trying to take money that is currently going to our recorder. It will basically, we do not need less money. The state can find their own money. This came to our attention. It came to our delegation at Springfield's attention because the recorder did. Our recorder has sent a letter opposing this, as she should. And basically, like Ms. Busey said, this is a fee currently collected by the recorder going through the recorder's office that we would be losing and would be going straight to Springfield. And I think that we should be on record letting Springfield know that we're paying attention to this.
Thank you, Mr. Kibler.
I like it. I'd like to call the question.
Second.
Thank you.
Can I clarify that the motion is to direct the chair to send a letter in opposition of this?
That's correct.
Thank you.
All in favor?
But sometimes you adopt a resolution in opposition, and that is what is sent to your legislators. Do you want just a letter from the chair, or do you want a resolution on the county board agenda? It can be either or. It's just usually.
What do you want, Michael? Like a resolution.
Resolution.
Resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? I have no additional chair reports for tonight. Consent items A1 and A2. And
C2.
That's all. You stand. Can I adjourn us?